It's time for LVC Football on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. Today's game is brought to you by Lebanon Valley College. Now, let's take it out to the game with John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. John Wilsbach alongside Brian Kaiser, and it's LVC Football taking on King's College. And LVC 1-1 in conference, 1-2 overall. Same thing with King's College, a 1-2 record, and always a tough game up here for LVC, and always good games as well, and it's homecoming here for King's College, so a nice crowd on hand, sunshine finally breaking through some of these early morning clouds, a little breezy out, and a nice day for Division III college football, Brian.
Yeah, it's a great day for football, and it's a beautiful day, but as you always have up here, the conditions at King's, you always have wind that's coming across this field. It's a different feeling when you're out there on the field. And we'll talk to Coach Joe Beeler about that in the pregame. LVC has not played some of its better games up here. They've gotten some results over the years, but still have not played some of their better games. And today, it looks like two very evenly matched teams coming into this game. This may be a determinant for some real positioning in the MAC to see who's still going to have a chance to do something and have a say in the conference battle.
All right, when we come back, Brian talks with Joe Beeler, head coach for LVC. That's when we come back after the 60-second break on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
Brian Kaiser back on the pregame show alongside of Lebanon Valley head football coach Joe Beeler. Coach, last week against Stevenson, a game where the score was close. Do you feel that your team is getting closer to being able to compete with the top teams?
Yes, I definitely think we're moving in the right direction. Had a great week of practice this week. And the key is we need to respect our opponent, but we can't give him too much credit. And last week we gave Stevenson a little too much credit to start that football game. And once our kids realized that they could play with them, it was a whole different ballgame.
It seemed, too, that the game plan was working pretty well as far as trying to long ball control drives, not turning the ball over very often. Stevenson usually gets some of those turnovers, but it really seemed like the game plan was in place to work very well, and it seemed like the team was carrying that out.
Yes, very much so. And, of course, ironically, I think one of the biggest plays in the game was the interception, and that's what the Stevenson does. They find ways to get the ball back in their hands, and they play patiently offensively as well. They're not trying to go big plays. They're very methodical as well. But our plan was to run the football. We know who we are, and we think our passing game can be strong and can get better, but we know we're a running football team.
Let's talk about that running game, because one key cog in that running game, Ryan Kingshill, has not been 100%, so we'll talk about him too. But Brendan Irving's somebody who, even though he hasn't had the numbers so far this year, it seems like he's ready to break out at some point. What's it going to take?
Just a little bit of daylight, and he'll do some big things. Yeah, he'll have some big games this year. That doesn't concern me one bit. He's healthy, which is really important. Ryan Kingshill's healthy this week. You know, last week he tried to give it a go, and he just wasn't ready. He had gotten hurt the week before, and he needed it to be. It was a 2-week injury, and he's 100%.
defensively, one of the issues that your team has right now is third downs. Teams are getting a lot of conversions on third down, over 50%, last in the conference right now. What does it take to change that narrative?
Someone's got to make a play. I mean, that's the name of the game on defense, is someone's got to beat a block. Someone's got to be able to make that play on the football, and we'll do that. We've got some good football players on our defensive side, and our D-line just keeps getting better every week. I'm really excited. It's a young group, and they just keep getting better.
Talk to me about this King's College team, a team that offensively looks like an explosive squad. Defensively right now looks like a team that's going to give up some points.
Well, they do, and yet they also have some players defensively. I mean, number six, their linebacker, is a four-year starter, and last year he gave us some fits early in that football game, and they've got the size and strength, and they got some guys that can run in their secondary. So I'm sure they're in the same kind of situation where they're expected to be better today, and we're expecting to be able to run the football today.
Last thing for you, Coach, is this field, because anytime we come up here, just it seems like it's a difficult place to play. Is there any specific reason why LVC has not had some of their better games here?
That's a great question. I don't know that there is a reason. I can tell you this. I've never been here when the wind wasn't blowing. I'm not sure in Wilkes-Barre if there's ever a day where they say it won't be windy today. It's definitely different up on a big hill in the mountains, but we're gonna show up and play today. That you can count on.
Good luck today, Coach.
Thanks.
Lebanon Valley head football coach Joe Beeler back with more after this here on the pregame show on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
And welcome back. Here at King's College, it's homecoming for the Monarchs, and they come into this game with the same exact record as Lebanon Valley College, 1-2 overall, 1-1 in the MAC conference, as each team took it on the chin for one of the top contenders in the MAC a week ago. Kings lost in blowout fashion last week, 49-14 to Delaware Valley. For LVC, though, it was a close game with Stevenson, but one where they fell behind 21-0 and then came back in the game and ended up losing just 24-13, had their chances in the game. This is a game now where LVC has to be licking their chops, thinking to themselves, this is a chance for us to get right back on it, especially against a team that so far this season has really struggled when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, like King's College has so far. And that means for LVC, it is Brendan Irving who needs to get going in this one. The 5'7 senior out of Woolwich, New Jersey. Two straight seasons of 1,000-yard rushing performances. And so far this year, through three games, just 185 yards. And even though the rushing game as a whole has been working to the tune of the first ranked rushing team in the conference. Irving himself has not had that big breakout game. We're hoping for that today.
Well, I agree with you, Brian. Yeah, we're waiting. We know senior year that Irving had a great offseason. We saw him in the preseason, and the coaches said that this is the hardest he's worked. He's prepared. He's ready. He just hasn't had that breakout game for this season yet. And who knows? This could be one of those. With the way the wind is, you know, I would have to think that they may keep, you know, some of the passing down, but then again, some teams it doesn't bother.
Let's take a look at the starting lineup for LVC offensively. Junior Tim Peroni is your quarterback. The tailback is senior Brendan Irving, although we will also see Ryan Fink and John Jones at that position today. Evan Lysick and Derek Robinson have been splitting time at fullback. Lysick, the junior, gets the start. Travis Saylor and Mike Gamble are the senior wide receivers. Trey Manning, the senior tight end. The offensive line, it's good to have Ryan Kingsville back more at full strength. The 6'5", 328-pound left tackle out of Bear, Delaware, has been a real force for this team. Logan Stover, Bryant Weller, Scott Warner, and Lee Amoros are the remaining offensive linemen. We're going to step out for a break. We'll be back in 1 minute and station identification for kickoff, Kings College against Lebanon Valley College, here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
WMSSFM.com. WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu.
National anthem here at King's College, and we are getting set for kickoff as it is the King's College Monarchs hosting your Lebanon Valley College Flying Dutchman. Brian Kaiser along with John Wilsbach. We are here atop the press box right now and ready for game action between two teams that, you know, we've had some defensive struggles the last couple years in this series. A year ago, LVC victorious back at Arnold Field by a score of 10-6. The year before that, Kings won up here 10-7. We're expecting some more offensive fireworks, though, in this afternoon's game.
Yeah, 18th meeting between these two teams. LVC holding the edge of 10-7. So, we've seen the battles here year after year. Kings College, nice crowd on hand for their homecoming and great weather for them. They're wearing the red uniforms with the gold trim and LVC and the white jerseys with the blue pants. And LVC will be kicking off from our left to right at 91.1 FM, 1510 AM, and on the internet at WMSSFM.com and the TuneIn app. Nick Benz will be kicking off for LVC. At least should be. Looks like a number change on him.
No, that's Benz. He's 20.
Kickoff, Nice, deep, end over end. It'll be taken right around the 3-yard line by Miller, up to the 20, and busted down around the 25-yard line. So that's where the King's College Monarchs will start out offensively, going right to left.
And let's take a look at their offense, and they're led out there by the junior quarterback, Zach Whitehead, the number one passer through 3 weeks in the MAC. He has Zach Funk listed as a starting running back, but you'll see a lot of freshmen. Alvante Thompson, the team's leading rusher. Three receivers in the set. Marquise Miller, the junior. Tyler Maroney, also a junior. And Mike Palmer, the 5'7 senior. Trey Campbell is the junior tight end. Offensive line of Jake Deaver, David Hicks, Ron Ippolite, Brian Olison, and Nathan Schoeck.
Whitehead in the shotgun. Got a man to his right and a slot to the left side. In the pocket, looking to pass, throwing down the right sideline. He's got a man there, and that is complete to Corey Flynn for a first down across midfield all the way to the LVC 36-yard line.
And already, John, it looks like they want to try to take advantage of a size advantage here. That is Corey Flynn at 6'3", getting the start in this lineup. Also, Tyler Maroney at 6'4", against these smaller corners for the Flying Dutchman.
On first down, they'll hand it off up the middle to Zach Funk. He'll go off the right side, still standing, breaking a few tackles and pounding his way right to the 25. He's going to be close to another first down.
It's a great start here for Kings, trying to get this crowd immediately into the game and shake off the effects of last week's game against Delaware Valley, where they only had 125 yards of total offense.
Palmer and Maroney on the left side, but he'll throw again to the right side to Flynn. He'll catch it, knocked out of bounds around the 20-yard line, a gain of several.
Corey Flynn coming into this game, just four catches for the season, has two in this opening drive. Let's look at the Dutchman off defense. Tyler Conlin, Austin McGuire, Jacob Whitfield, and Jermaine McQueen are your defensive linemen. Tommy Garner and Tommy Gallagher are your linebackers.
Second and fourth and 20. Back to pass, Whitehead throws, lobs it off in the flats out to Funk, and he'll pick up the first down close to the 15-yard line.
Good check down from Whitehead. He's looking down the field, wanted Maroney on the left side. He was well covered, so takes what's there, and Funk makes the reception. Tim Schumacher, Nick Tucker, Spencer Moser, Kyle Murray, Brendan Yetter, the five guys in the defensive back, they'll be busy today.
Whitehead again throws across the middle, incomplete, a little high for Mike Palmer. And through his hands, it will bring up a second and 10, but nonstop there. The King's College offense working very fast, no huddle.
They are rapid motion, and they are a team that really wants to go. And they don't have a great running game, so they will rely a lot on the pass.
Whitehead's going to hand it off. Funk's going to take it to the left side, trying to get around the left end, and dives down or around the 12-yard line.
And that's not where Funk, with his size, is best served. He's more of a straight up and down runner and runs very vertically. And at 6'1", when he comes out to the outside, he's a bigger target and without having great speed, an easier play for LVC.
Now Whitehead will step back for a second, look to the sideline, we'll look for the signal this time. It will bring up a third down and 7 at the 12 of LVC. Whitehead backs up. He's got Funk to his left with a slot to the right side. Maroney split on the left, in the pocket, looking, now runs forward. He's at the 10, he's at the 5, gets hit, knocked down. It's going to be a first down and goal to go at the 2-yard line for King's College.
Whitehead is a mobile quarterback, has 3 touchdown runs on the season, and when the secondary does their job, somebody up front has got to make a stop defensively. They didn't squeeze the pocket, they left a hole on the left side.
This time they'll take the quarterback sneak from center and dive to the 1-yard line, second and goal at the 1.
Trying to test the middle of this LVC defense, who on the season, the numbers against the run so far, 186 yards allowed per game, 6th in the conference, but still not good enough if you're going to rely on that front four.
Funk lines up next to Whitehead. The carry will be the quarterback, Whitehead, and he will take it into the end zone. Touchdown, Kings. They draw first blood, 6-0.
An impressive first drive, and all it took was a couple of nice passes to get things started. The pass to Flynn to start the whole thing off loosened up the defense, and a few plays after that, the Monarchs in the end zone, and already we have more, just as many points for Kings as they had last year in this game.
Extra point coming up. Kinasevich High snap, but it put down. Kick is away, and it's good. We'll step out. 12:09 to play in the first. It's King's College 7. LVC nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present The Astonishing Truth About Exercise in the Brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
We're back in Wilkes-Barre. John Wilsbach alongside Brian Kaiser. Glad to have you along. King's College out of the gates fast. 7-0 on LVC.
It's a different team this year for King's College. They were more methodical the last few years. This year, they are a team that wants to get up and down the field, and head coach Jeff Narr has allowed Zach Whitehead to run this offense the way that he needs to, and that leads to a 9-play, 75-yard drive, 2 minutes and 51 seconds off the clock, culminating in the 1-yard Whitehead touchdown run.
Gavel takes the kickoff around the 11, up to the 25, to the 30, and knocked down around the 37-yard line. So the LVC offense will get its first chance on the field.
And we've already talked about the LVC offense and the starters coming in. I want to spotlight a couple guys. One of them is Tim Peroni, because a week ago he was more effective with his legs than his arm. He's got to start making plays in the passing game and being trusted to make plays in the passing game. The ninth-ranked passer in the conference, just 273 yards passing coming in. A lot of that's by design. They are going to run the ball, but Peroni has got to make plays with his arm today.
Irving is the deep back. Peroni under center. From their own 37, it's going to be Irving off to the right side, and he will be crunched immediately as he touches that football by Bobby Russell, the linebacker.
That's a guy that, thank the Lord, that Bobby Russell is a senior, because it's been 4 years, and Irving gimping after that play looks like he has an ankle issue. I don't know that anyone's seen it yet from the sideline.
Oh, you're right. He's in the huddle right now, can barely put any weight on that ankle. And you're in that situation, you just either, as a quarterback, tell them to get out of the huddle or call the timeout.
I don't think anybody else knew it.
No. Second and 10, play action. Peroni's going to roll left. He's looking, throwing upfield, but unable to get it to Zimnik, who felt like he was being obstructed on the sideline, and the flag is thrown.
And it's a tough break for Kings, because that ball was way overthrown. And with that ball being thrown as far down the field as it was, there's no chance of a completion there. But Zimnik obstructed trying to get down the field, and the officials are going to say that it was enough obstruction to give LVC a first down off this. Is this illegal contact? Is it pass interference? What is this going to be? But regardless, it's going to be a penalty against King's College. Let's look at their defense while we figure this out. Jacoby Forsman, Brian Hicks, and Chris DiGaetano are the front three in this 3-4 defense. The linebackers are maybe as good a linebacking core as you have in the conference. C.J. Curry, Hassan Maxwell, two of the guys, and they are underclassmen. Bobby Russell, normally the guy that you look at, the senior, is averaging 7.3 tackles per game. But Bruce Damon, the junior, has been phenomenal the first 3 weeks of the season. First in the conference in tackles per game at 15 per game, and he has all five of the Monarch sacks.
Ryan Fink checks in now as the tailback. He'll get the carry, trying to go left, going back to the right, gets across the 45 to the 42-yard line. It's going to be a gain of 6.
Quickly looking at the Kings' defensive secondary, you've got Eli Vasquez, a freshman, at one corner. Tyler Majacek is a senior at the other corner. Jake Minetti is the junior free safety. Ryan Milanica is the junior strong safety.
Irving must not have been that bad, because he's back in there at tailback behind Robinson with a wide to the far side and a second down and 4 at the 42. It's Irving up the middle, finds a hole at the 40, 35. Still dragging a man inside the 30 and knocked down at the 29. First down, LVC.
That great burst up the middle, and Irving, all he needed was just a second, maybe just to shake off whatever was ailing him on that ankle. Comes right back out again, and they're going to continue rotating these backs, keeping them fresh. The bread and butter of this LVC team is the running game. 223 yards per game on the ground. That's tops in the MAC.
Gary Wise in there now as the wide out to the left side, and they'll use both tight ends in Berberick and Manning. First and 10 at the 28. Give to Fink up the middle. Pounds inside the 25, and they'll tackle him close to the 23.
When you're playing against a team who plays a 3-4 defense, one of the plays that can be very successful if you can get a good, solid double team on the nose guard are those plays right up the middle, because it hits the line of scrimmage before the linebackers, if they're not blitzing, are able to make their read. So it gives you a little bit of a burst up the gut, and that's where LVC is trying to run the ball early in this game.
Gavel wide on the right side. It's going to be Sailor on the left. Backs in the eye. Second down and 5. Bernie's going to stretch it out to the left side. Irving getting around to the 20, cuts it up at the 15, and he'll have the first down as he's tackled near the 10.
Ryan Kingshill over on the left tackle position. They've missed him the last couple weeks, played sparingly a week ago, went 2 series, and just couldn't push off on that injured ankle. He's now more close to 100%. He's out there. Great lead block on the play on the outside backer, Brandon Gonzalez. Gets to the edge for Irving, and Irving able to make the turn up the field. First and goal, LVC trying to answer.
Slot to the right side with Sailor and Gavel. Lone setback is Fink. Peroni under center. It's a first and goal at the 10. They'll go Fink up the middle, gets hit, and dives to about the 8. It's a gain of 2.
That's Bruce Damon in on the stop for Kings. I mean, he really came out of nowhere. If you see a guy who has the number inflation that Bruce Damon had coming into the season, you're expecting him to be a transfer from a D1 program. Damon was with this team a year ago. He was one of the backup linebackers, but he has just exploded on the scene this season and has been a difference maker.
Second and goal at the 8. Robinson and Fink in the eye. Wise is going to be wide on the far side. 8:28 and counting here in the first. Kings leading 7-0. LVC moves both tight ends to the right side. Peroni two-step drop, thrown for the corner, but out of the outstretched hands of Wise, it's incomplete.
Boy, he had a step on the defensive back, Vasquez, as they're trying to pick on the freshman corner. And Wise, with his good size over there at 6'1", just made a little move, shake and bake to the outside, turned up the field. That ball is just a little bit closer to him. He's got that opportunity, but now third down and goal, a definite passing scenario here for the Flying Dutchman. Let's see if they can sneak the tight end out of the formation here.
Shotgun for Peroni. Fink is lined up to his right. He'll roll to the right. Third and goal. He'll throw for the end zone for Gavel, and through his hands, incomplete. And a fourth down coming up for the Flying Dutchman.
Now, important, though, you've got to get points here, but you've got a field goal kicking team that's 1-for-1 on the year. But Marcus Brown has had a few extra points blocked, and it has not been a clean unit. So I think this is important for this unit immediately here on this field goal. You want to answer the scoring drive from Kings, but you also have to show right now that this unit is able to put it together out there and get a clean kickoff for the sophomore kicker.
25-yard attempt coming from the far hash for Marcus Brown. Now line up, snap, hold, kick is low, but on the way, and it is through. We'll step out, 8-10 to play in the first. It's King 7, LVC 3. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Wigan Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, WiganBuckle.com. Back in Wilkes-Barre, John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, glad to have you along. 7-3 Kings leading LVC after a Flying Dutchman field goal.
Good drive. Set up by a good kickoff return from Michael Gavel on the kickoff, getting it into good field position, and LVC responded with 9 plays, 55 yards. Took 3 minutes and 52 seconds, but it bogged down inside the 10. They have to settle for the field goal, and Marcus Brown able to put that through to cut the lead to 4.
Nick Benz to kick off. He's got the wind to his back. Miller Weidman back to receive. End over end. This one's going all the way back into the end zone and out of the back off the hands of Weidman. And we knew going into this season that Nick Benz had a foot on him. He can boot him.
He's a field position weapon for this Flying Dutchman team. And that's why you have people at each position who are capable of doing one thing. And the kicking job has become, for a lot more teams now, John, it's been more a specialized thing. At one point, you'd have same guy doing kicking, punting, kicking off, everything. For LVC now, you got a different punter, a different kicker, somebody else for kickoffs. And if one of those guys doesn't come in, Nick Newton's the guy who comes in to replace him. So they've got a lot of different options there, but it's a more specialized game.
Whitehead shotgun with the trips to the right. He's got Thompson to his right. He's going to roll right, looking. Now throws upfield, and it's incomplete. Was trying to get it to Mike Palmer, and it brings up a second and 10 from their own 25.
Spencer Moser, let's remember, this junior corner for LVC who leads the team in tackling coming into this game at over 7 a game. Here's a guy who his freshman year was a running back. They needed to switch him over because they needed an impact player on the defensive side. What a break on the ball, knocking that one away from Palmer.
This time they'll hand it to Thompson going to the left side. He'll cut it up off the end and get up just across the 30 for a gain of 6.
While Zach Funk may be the starter for this team, the guy who's got more wiggle to him is Alvante Thompson. Comes in this game averaging 5.4 yards per carry. They have used him somewhat sparingly, but he's a guy as a freshman. He's got a bright future.
Got the trips on the right side. Whitehead throws short pass, but it's right there to Campbell, who has the first and all the way up across midfield as he drags a couple LVC players.
The fact that they cannot get home on the pass rush at the beginning of this season for LVC plagues them there, as it's just a quick release off the line, and they catch them in a blitz. Linebackers coming in, tight end in the vacated hole.
At the 49 of LVC, Thompson on the carry, going to the right side, and he'll pick up just a few yards to the 46, a gain of 3.
One of the big bugaboos for this Dutchman defense for Coach Vince Pantalone, the defensive coordinator, is their inability to get off the field on third downs. We'll talk about that. Hopefully they get to a third down here on this second down play.
Second and 7. Quick pass almost picked off. Moser stepped in front of the ball but couldn't bring it in. Incomplete.
Whitehead wanted Maroney the entire way and tunnel visioned him. And Moser, a great break on the ball. But here's that problem down for LVC. They have not been able to get off the field on third downs. Have given up over 52% of the time the opponent on third down has picked up first downs. That's not good enough. That's a number should be around 33%.
Third down and 7 at the 46 of LVC. Palmer in motion. Whitehead rolling left. Looks. He'll throw the out. He's got him, and it is a first down out of bounds at the 35-yard line.
And they roll away from the pressure because Trent Donlin, the sophomore defensive tackle, had gotten free, but they had rolled away from where he was. That allows the passing lane, and you've got a wide receiver, Palmer, against a linebacker in Tommy Garner, the speed mismatch enough to pick up another first down.
Palmer and Flynn in the left side slot, first and 10 at the 35. They'll hand it off to Funk up the middle, and he'll pound his way inside the 35 to the 31. It's a gain of 4.
And LVC will continue to run guys in. Bottom line for the Flying Dutchman, they have got to find playmakers. And right now on the defensive side, they do not have a lot of guys who are making big plays in key situations.
This time, Whitehead will throw it to the near side, and Palmer catches it, looks up, and Moser's right there to greet him and knock him down, no gain.
And there's your one guy on the defensive side who has really been making a lot of big plays, and that is Spencer Moser with an excellent read. Gets in there, the individual tackle on Palmer. Third down, middle distance. Again, this is a great chance for LVC's defense to try to get off the field.
Third down and 6. Whitehead in the pocket, throws across the middle. He's got Miller. He'll move and groove right around the 20-yard line to the 19. It's another first down for Kings.
It brings Schumacher off the edge to try to put some pressure on. That means Whitehead's looking for his check down. Unfortunately for LVC, the guy who was trying to cover the receiver, Tommy Garner, ran into the umpire, and that created quite a pick and another first down for the Monarchs offense.
They lead it 7-3 with 5:28 to go here in the first. Shotgun Whitehead Funk's to his right. He'll give it to him up the middle. Big hole, 15, 10, 5, and he's busted down around the 2-yard line. Make it the 1.
A gaping hole up the middle. And part of it's because LVC is so worried right now about the passing game that they are able to exploit the middle. Funk, one of his biggest runs of the year.
They're going to spot it around, looks like the 2. Hard to tell at our angle here, but I'll go with that. Maybe even the 3. Slot, right and left. Funk to the right of Whitehead. Who's going to keep it? It's going to be Whitehead, and he's going to go in on touch, touchdown, Kings.
That's a great read, too, from Whitehead. He held that ball to the last second on the zone read, saw that the entire defense, including that defensive end, had come down, thought that the handoff was made, pulls it back out of the running back's chest, and sprints it right in the end zone untouched. Monarchs have made it look easy, John, here. These two drives. And this is not a good beginning here for LVC defensively.
A crisp, proficient operating offense right now in this game for them. Kinesevich in for the extra point kick. He's a lefty. Snap, hold. It's on the way, and it's good. We'll step out. 4:54 to go in the first. It's Kings 14, LVC 3, back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
Now the Kings offense on fire here in the first. Two nice drives, and they lead it 14-3.
Yeah, little hiccup last week for them against Delaware Valley, but they were explosive the first two games of the season. And we're seeing why right now. 11 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes and 16 seconds. Combination of run and pass. They are balanced at this point, completely have the Flying Dutchman defense on their heels. And LVC's defense just cannot make the big stop.
Kickoff, Gavel will take it around the 18, up to the 25, near side 30. Gets pounded in right along the 33-34-yard line.
It's another good return, though. It's good starting position. And really, John, at this point, the best way for this LVC defense to be able to regroup is to have the offense do what they are very fond of doing, and that is a nice long ball control drive that ends in a touchdown. So let's see if this running game that LVC has can go out there and grind some clock and maybe take a little bit of the momentum out of this Kings offense.
LVC takes over at its own 32-yard line. And Salerno is going to be the tailback. He'll carry it to the left side. Cuts it up at the 35. Gets knocked around the 38. It's going to be a gain of about 7.
That's Steve Salerno, sophomore, 5'9", 218 pounds out of Hasbrook's Height, New Jersey. And he's a guy who... he's looked good in mop-up duty the last few games, getting an opportunity here.
Brings up a second down and a long 3 from close to the 39. Slide to the far side. Salerno stays in as the tailback. Is that Funk?
It's Irving.
Oh, Irving's back in. Irving is. So Irving close to the first down.
This is why we need to hire a spotter.
Holy cow. Well, they're running in Fink, Salerno, Irving.
Haven't seen Jones yet.
Haven't seen Jones yet, but then you've got the two fullbacks, both Robinson and Lasek, getting action.
And the thing about the rotating tailback, something that they've always told us over the years, they love the depth that they've always had at the tailback position. And Salerno is just another guy who has some real ability, who just needs a chance.
Keenan Zimnick in the slot to the right side. First and 10 from the 43. They'll go Irving, trying to get outside, and he'll get spun around the 45. Still able to pick up a few up to the 46.
I think you have to keep this Kings defense honest with your outside run, but really where they're going to have to hit this team is between the tackles. I think there's a lot of speed here on the edges for Kings. They flow to the ball very well. If you hit them between the tackles, that's where you're going to have the majority of your running game. So I think the play calling for LVC is going to be a mix of balance of passing, of running plays with the occasional run in, but still up the middle is where they're going to have to make their yardage.
Well, they're on 47, second down and six. Gary Wise is wide on the right side. This time they'll go to Robinson, the fullback, up the middle, and he'll gain a few right to midfield at the 50.
This becomes a really big down, John. You got a third down, 3 yards to go. The team that's not throwing the football very effectively so far this season. And this would be one of those great play-action downs where a team's probably gearing up. But do you have the confidence to throw the ball here on a little bit windy day, the passing game that isn't going, wherein you can just run the football and maybe pick up the yardage? So I think this is a real telling down play-calling-wise.
Third and three, Lysak back in at fullback. Irving behind him with a slot to the right side. Peroni under center. He'll go Irving left side. Nowhere to run, nowhere to go. There was nothing open. He gets back to the line of scrimmage. And a fourth down and three, and the punting unit will come in.
They try to go left. The Kings had everybody at the line of scrimmage. They were looking for a run. It's one team against the other where both teams pretty much know what's coming. And the Kings defense stands firm.
So the punting unit in. Moser will stand back around his own 36-yard line. Miller back to receive around his 10. Wind to the back of Moser. Still waiting for the snap and takes his time. Nice high punt. Fair catch called for at the 15-yard line by Marcus Miller.
And, John, one of the things about Brendan Irving and coming into this game, and this is an LVC offense that even though they're running the ball effectively, Brendan Irving has not put up big numbers. And I think the biggest problem for Irving is the predictability of when he's getting carries. He's getting carries on first down, on second down. How many delays have we seen with Brendan Irving so far this year? How many times on third down and long or second down and long have we seen them run with Irving as opposed to somebody else? That's one of the issues he's having. On that third down play, it was a predictable running play, and they went right to him.
Thompson on first down from the 16, finds a hole, gets up across the 20, all the way up to the 25. It's a gain of 9. Yeah, I think you're right. I think when he's in the game, there's some predictability as to what the offense is going to
there's
do.
There's too much predictability right now in the LVC offense. They have got to trust Tim Peroni to do more, and if they can't, they've got to find somebody they can trust.
Whitehead throws to the near side. He's got Flynn caught near the line of scrimmage, but just enough to get him the first down up to the 26-yard line.
It's a great open field tackle, and again, there's Spencer Moser closing quickly on the play. And back to that previous point, I think they believe that Peroni is the guy, but if you won't let him throw the football, especially on non-predictable downs, it's tough to be successful.
This time, pass right across the middle to Campbell, and he will have it for another first down up to the 38. Kings offense just constantly gashing this LVC defense.
There's a lot of holes in the dike right now, John, and there's not a lot of thumbs to be put in it.
First down and 10. Kings with a 14-3 lead. They've got it at their own 38. They've got the slot to the right side. They'll go to Thompson up the middle. He'll get tripped up near the line, but still positive gain as he dives across the 40, close to the 42.
Kings College is not a team that runs the ball effectively most of the time. That's why this front four has got to be able to stop the run, because then everybody else can worry more about the passing game. The fact that they can't get the run stopped early is really hampering them.
Thompson again, this time taking to the right side. Breaks a tackle on the 45. Spun down at midfield. It's another first down for the Monarchs.
And running the ball very effectively. And I like this freshman running back, Alvante Thompson. A good burst to the outside. Some excellent blocking on the edge. And that's the end of the first quarter. It is not a good performance so far for LVC after one.
We'll step out after one. Kings 14, LVC 3. Back in 60 seconds with the second quarter here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
We start the second quarter. Kings leading 14-3. They've got the football first and 10 at midfield. Handoff up the middle. It's Thompson. He'll get stacked up after picking up a few. They'll give him forward progress to the 47, a gain of three.
Let's take a look at the scores around the conference. Well, we'll wait until after this play. They're moving too fast.
I was going to say, I think you're going to have to wait for
Big
stoppages to do some things in this game. Second down and seven with a slot to the right side. Whitehead getting pressure, now scrambling. Stops, throws incomplete, underthrows Miller, but knew he had to just get rid of it. Brings up a third down and seven.
Chance Hayes was coming in. Chance Hayes was coming in with some pressure off the outside. And that was an opportunity for LVC to make the play defensively. And they were able to get the pressure necessary.
And will this be the first time LVC can make a stop in this game? Third and seven at the 47 of LVC. Slot far side, split on the near side. Shotgun. Whitehead in the pocket, looking. Throws across the middle, tapped high in the air, and intercepted by Moser at the 40. He'll take it to the far side of the 45 across midfield. 45-40, cuts back toward the middle at the 35. Gets another block at the 30 and then tackled from behind at the 27-yard line of Kings.
Yeah, the mistake there, and I'm watching the coverage as that play is developing. And LVC decide, look, we can't get to him. Let's just play max coverage back here. They send the front four after the quarterback. Whitehead looking for the first down yardage with his tight end, Campbell, who he's hit a couple times already in this game, but has to fit it into a really tight window. And because of having seven guys back covering, there's not much room there. The ball gets deflected, and Moser breaks tremendously on the ball. Great return, and LVC, just like that, has some life.
Flying Dutchman will go with Peroni in the shotgun. Fink to his right. Slot far side, and he'll go with Baxter, split on the left side at the 27 of Kings. Peroni's going to roll to the right, looks to run it. Cuts up at the 25, the 20, the 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Tim Peroni, touchdown LVC!
And that's the way you come into the game after a defensive play. They make a big play, you have an opportunity, and immediately Tim Peroni makes something happen. And that's why they've got him out there at quarterback, because he makes things happen. Maybe not all the time with his arm, but with his feet, he is lethal. Finds an edge around the outside, and LVC right back in this football game. Great job by the offense blocking on that play, taken to the house.
Peroni's fourth touchdown rushing of the season. Brown in for the extra point kick. They'll line up. Snap, hold. Kick on the way, and it is good. We'll keep it right here. But the score now, Kings 14, LVC 10.
Let's take a look at the scoreboard around the MAC. Late in the first quarter are all of these scores, as this game is moving a little bit faster than anybody else. But everybody close to the end of the first quarter. Stevenson at home. They are 3-0 going in against FDU Florham at 0-2. Stevenson has a 7-0 lead nearing the end of the first. Widener blowing out Wilkes right now. 19-0 already at the end of one. Widener comes in 1-1. Wilkes is 1-2. Misericordia has the lead at home right now against Lycoming. Near the end of the first, it's Misericordia 7, Lycoming nothing. Misericordia 0-3 on the year at Lycoming is 1-2 and definitely struggling. And in what would have to be considered the marquee matchup of the conference, Albright trying to keep in the race early on, one of these preseason favorites already looking at the wrong side of a 1-2 record. They are down already 10-7 to undefeated Delaware Valley near the end of the first.
LVC right to left, kicking off will be Benz. A little bit into the wind. Wind kind of shifted to a cross breeze a few moments ago. He'll boot this one low, and it does go low, bouncing around the 25. Picked up around the 15, and back the other way comes Miller, and he's immediately dropped around the 30.
Good enough coverage, although if he beats the tackle, Salerno, he may still be running. But Salerno is able, as he turned back to the inside, to get his arm out there, and the diminutive Marquise Miller, 5'9", 165, very elusive guy, but he's not able to keep his feet on that play.
14-10, Kings leading LVC. Monarchs with the ball, first and 10 at their own 31. Whitehead, Thompson to his left in the shotgun, a slot to the far side, Maroney on the right side. They'll go Thompson. Now he hands it back off the opposite direction and close to a first down.
That's Whitehead again.
Will be Whitehead, yeah.
It's a zone read. And what he's doing is he's reading that defensive end. The defensive end reacts and goes with the running back. He's going to hold on to the ball, and a very good decision by Whitehead.
On the near side, quick pass. Maroney makes the catch, dodges the tackler, knocked out of bounds across midfield. He's going to be just shy as they'll spot him right on the 50. It'll bring up a second and one.
We're seeing both teams here, though. The elusive quarterback, the guy who's comfortable running the football, a very difficult guy to defense on both sides.
This time it's Funk back there. He'll get the carry up the middle. He'll have the first down, and they'll spot him at the 46 of LVC.
And this is not what we were expecting coming in, John, from the King's College rushing game. Only 61 yards per game coming in. They're almost up to 100 yards already here early in the second quarter, as they are now at 91 yards rushing for the first half of play.
First and 10 at the 46 of LVC. Taking their time getting this call in this time. And they've got the double slot again. Whitehead with Funk back there. No play action. Rolling right. Gets pressure. Throws it up. It is almost intercepted. Incomplete.
That's a mistake from Whitehead. He needs to throw that football away.
Yeah.
He's trying to force that into coverage. He's got pressure. Finally, LVC with a little bit of pressure in the backfield as Tyler Conlin, the junior defensive end out of Phillipsburg, New Jersey, was one of the guys in the backfield pressuring him. When they got that pressure on him, he throws the ball into traffic.
Second and 10. Whitehead in the pocket. Has time. Throws the slant. He's got a man. That's complete. First down to Mike Palmer all the way down to the 31.
Finds the hole in the zone defense, and you had another crossing route in the middle that sort of vacated that area as Marquise Miller coming across the middle of the field allows Palmer on the backside of that play to find an open spot.
Got the double slot again. Whitehead throws. Maroney caught at the 25 and tackled for another first down at the 20-yard line.
See how important, too, John, rhythm of an offense is. A completed pass, and all of a sudden this team really gets going, and that's why you have to disrupt this team.
First and 10 at the 20 of LVC. Very similar to what we saw several years ago playing down at Johns Hopkins, how quick the offense just keeps moving, lining up, knowing what they're going to do next. Double slot. Handoff this time, Funk up the middle, trying to break a tackle, drags a guy a couple yards to about the 17-yard line.
This offensive line is doing a nice job, too, against the front four of LVC. You have big Jacob Whitfield, who is 291 pounds, a sophomore for LVC, a tough guy to move around, and they're double-teaming him pretty much on every play.
Kind of trips to the left side, and Maroney's split on the right side. Whitehead's going to put Funk to his left. On second down, in the pocket, has time, looking right, looking left. Now throwing for the back right corner and gets rid of it, but a late hit.
Guy Zimmerman coming off the edge, hits Whitehead late, and it's going to cost LVC a first down.
So another first down coming up for Kings with 11:44 to play here in the second. They lead it 14-10, and that's going to move it. All the way down to about the 8?
Well, John, whenever you have a team that's having success offensively, a lot of times the way to try to disrupt things is to send pressure. They figured out early on that's not going to work here very well because they're getting rid of the ball in this short passing game, this sort of West Coast offense style of passing game that they have out of the spread. So what they're doing now is they're sending four and playing max coverage down the field, and that's been a little bit more effective.
First and goal at the eight, trips to the left side. They'll go Funk up the middle, and he'll grind his way to about the five, another flag thrown.
That's over on the line, so somebody was offside in some way. Illegal formation.
Against Kings. They'll mark it back five.
Gives them a
maybe
bit
one of the receivers maybe just kind of started lurching forward.
Well, no, they would have blown the play dead if that was the case. Okay. That means that one of the receivers was probably supposed to be on the line of scrimmage, and all of them were backed off.
First and goal at the 13. Whitehead in the pocket, looking, throws right side. That's complete. Funk at the 10, and then driven back. So he picks up several to the 10-yard line.
Red zone defense is all about bending but not breaking, and Tommy Garner doing exactly that on the play. You'll allow the reception in front of you. That's fine, but make sure you make that short tackle, and he only gets a little bit of the yardage back.
They're going to mark it on the 8. Second and goal. Whitehead getting pressure, scrambling right, goes back the other, now up the middle at the 10, trying to go to the right and knock down around the 9, so he's going to lose a yard, maybe gets back to the line of scrimmage.
Kyle Murray cleans the tackle up, but Whitehead showing his elusiveness. You have two or three guys who had a shot at him back in the backfield. Again, they're sending just four right now. They're getting there and getting more pressure with four, and that's allowing seven guys in coverage against either four or five receivers.
Third down and goal at the 8, double slot. Whitehead, pocket, throws right. That's complete. Miller, and they got him down near the goal line.
Not in.
About the 1. So now a fourth and goal. Are they marking it on the 2? They're going to put it on the 2. So fourth and goal on the 2.
I'm surprised they're going here, but still. A great opportunity for LVC defense to make a big play.
Miller in motion. Whitehead rolling to the left. Looking. Throws it for the back of the end zone. Too high. Incomplete. Was looking for Flynn. And the Flying Dutchman defense makes a stand.
I think that's Dylan Lobach coming in from the backside of that play. He's coming rushing off the edge, and without his pressure, Whitehead's able to continue rolling out to the left side, buy more time. With Lobach coming, the freshman linebacker, able to make some pressure on the play. He's forced to get rid of the ball early. Again, John, I'm surprised that they went for it there.
I am too. I think you've got an opportunity to get some points. You just take them.
You take them in a game like this. But because LVC is pinned back on their own two, I think this is maybe the other part of the equation that gets factored in.
LVC's got two tights over on the right side from its own two-yard line, and they'll try to run it right up the middle, and they'll get up close to about the 4. Was that Fink?
Yep.
It is.
Short yardage running back is Ryan Fink, and the sophomore out of Schuylkill Haven getting the carry there.
Up to the 4, brings up 2nd and 8. 9:45 to go in the second, 14-10, Kings leading LVC. Fink, the deep back. They'll take him to the left side, looks to cut it up, trying to follow his blockers. Gets up across the 5 to about the 6. All right, now what point here do you stay conservative or take a chance deep in your own end, Brian?
I would have actually taken a chance on first down, to be honest with you, John, but that's me. And this is a team now that has, I think, over-established the fact that they're a running football team. I think at some point you have to at least bring the passing game into the equation and say, look, we might be a running team, but one of the reasons that we can be a running team is because we still can throw the football, especially on downs that the other team isn't thinking about it.
Irving, the deep back, the carry up the middle, following the block, gets a hole across the 15 and drags a few players up to the 19-yard line for a first down.
And that's actually the correct running down on a third down and middle distance. Now you've got a team that's probably thinking, well, they've got to throw it here. They don't want to punt out of their own end zone, and you just hit them with a straight running play up the gut. great blocking. Bryant Weller, the center, got a good block at the point of attack, and Irving picks up the first down.
First and 10, LVC from its own 19-yard line.
This is a play action down, John, except the fact the wind is in their face. So let's factor that in, too.
Motion by the tight end, Trey Manning. He'll line up on the right side. Backs in the eye. Irving again. Big hole on the left side. He coughs up the football, and it's still loose. Looks like King's had it. Zimnick jumps in at the very end when it was still loose.
And Irving is down after a very hard tackle from Bobby Russell, forced him to lose the ball. And that is bad news in two ways for LBC, because not only are they not going to recover this fumble, but Brendan Irving is hurt.
Kings comes away with it. That's going to be Jordan O'Hearn with the football out of the pile. And Brendan Irving is down and being tended to by the trainers. Will step out. Injury timeout with 8:20 to go in the second. It's Kings 14, LVC 10. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery. Now, Brendan Irving is up and walking off the field under his own power. Well, we saw him gimpy early in the game in the huddle, and he went off, came back, was fine, and moments ago got hit, and the ball just went flying out of him, but not as a result, it seemed, from the hit itself, Brian, but almost like a pain. And
see, that's what I initially thought. I almost think now that's almost the old frustration. I lost the ball. Let me stay here for a minute and give myself a reason why I lost the ball. Because he looked like he was fine walking off the field. He was not, it didn't look like he was wind knocked out of him or anything like that. So
Kings takes over at the 27, and there's a fumble by Weidman to the far side. It's loose, and it's picked up by LVC and tackled all the way out at the 40-yard line.
Adam Wagaman.
Yeah, Wagaman, the sophomore.
He comes in there and just an unforced error from King's College.
It's kind of like just a receiver sweep, a jet sweep type play in the backfield, but when that ball went to the gut of Weidman, he just kept running and it kept bouncing all over the place. And
here's the interesting thing about that. That's actually technically a pass because the quarterback touches the ball forward to the receiver coming forward on a jet sweep. So if he wouldn't have tucked that ball at some point, that could have been considered an incomplete pass.
LVC gets it back, first and 10 from its own 41. Both teams with turnovers here in the last minute. Keeper, Peroni trying to run it up the middle, and that hole sealed up quick. He'll get up to the 43 for a gain of two.
You hope that Irving is okay here. And here he comes right back into the game, John.
I wonder if he just cramped when he got hit with that ball at the same time.
It was a hit from Bobby Russell that we've seen now for 4 years for King's College, where he just comes over and you know that you're hit by Bobby Russell. 6'3", 240 pounds, all muscle out there, and he just finds the football wherever it is.
Second down and 8. Peroni rolling to the left, looking for Saylor. It's complete and out of bounds at the 30 of Kings.
Boy, what a great route from Saylor as he just did the little dipsy do around the 40-yard line where he just stops and goes. The corner on the play expecting him to come back to the ball, and that was enough for separation. Peroni found him immediately in that time period before the safety could come over and react.
27 on the pass, LVC first and 10 at the 30 of Kings. They'll go with Gavel and Saylor this time on the right side. Fink is the lone setback, Peroni under center. Peroni play action rolling right. He throws, and it's incomplete. Was looking for Gavel. Almost had it picked off.
We're seeing both these quarterbacks, John, two mobile quarterbacks, but when there's pressure on them, the decision-making process has to speed up. and you don't have the opportunity to sit back and read what's going on. So you throw the ball sometimes in positions you shouldn't have. That's a play that very easily could have been picked off if the pass would have been accurately thrown to his receiver.
Second down and 10, LVC at the 30 of Kings, going right to left. Irving, the deep back behind Robinson. Gary Wise is wide out on the right side. Peroni under center. Irving up the middle, finds a little bit of a hole and able to kind of crawl his way to the 25.
And, John, this goes back to that the down and distance. This is honestly a very good running down for this team because you've got a defense who's going to be thinking, has to worry about a passing game, and this is four down territory. So this would not be a bad place to run the football. And Irving still in the game. This is a good down for that delay that they have used as a staple play for many years. We have not seen as much of it this season.
Third and six, Peroni shotgun rolling right, shovel pass, Irving 25, the 20 to the 17, make it close to the, 17, it's a first down LVC.
Nice safe play call too, a 9-yard pickup, really nothing that can normally go wrong with a shovel pass, even with the pressure off the edge, two guys in, that just opened things up right behind those defensive players for Brendan Irving to pick up the first down. Excellent play call, and the LVC offense continues moving.
First and 10, LVC at the 17 of Kings, 5:55 to go in the second, 14-10, Kings leading the Flying Dutchman. Peroni, handoff, Fink, going back to the left side, gets hit around the 15 and tackled near the 14. LVC will now make some personnel changes. They'll bring in both tight ends and Gary Wise and bring Robinson in as the fullback.
And this is a King's College team. You'll see a lot of teams nowadays in college football who will rotate personnel. It's a King's College team that does not make a lot of in-possession changes on the defensive side. LVC trying to wear them down.
Second down and six. Around the 13 of Kings, they'll go Fink right side. Looks to cut it up near the 10, and that's where he'll be stopped. Gain of a few more. And it brings up a third down and three for LVC.
Good cut around the pursuit of Bobby Russell. And now we're right back at that third down and three where it's a very good running down for a team that likes to run the football. But this is also a good place to use Peroni's legs out on the edge.
Robinson. And behind him will be Salerno. There goes Salerno. Bounces off the left side. Dives down to around the 7. He's going to be very close to the first down.
Got a good enough block from his fullback in the left side of the offensive line, being able to move people forward. Running behind Logan Stover, the sophomore left guard out of York. Ryan Kingsill's over there at left tackle. Bryant Weller also getting a block there, too. And Robinson, and when they need the short yardage, a lot of times you'll see Derek Robinson at 224 pounds, the bigger fullback, being the guy who's leading the way.
They give him the first and goal at the 7 of Kings. Salerno stays in behind Robinson. Now we're going to get a timeout, so we'll step out as well. 4:11 to go in the second. 14-10, Kings leading LVC. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
Kings leading here at their homecoming, 14-10. We've got homecoming in just a couple weeks coming up in Anvil with LVC. Make sure you check out lvc.edu. Get a list of all the events coming up, the timetable, the schedule. Get with the alumni folks. Get your tickets for all the events. Hope to see you at homecoming in Anvil. LVC has a first and goal at the 7. Peroni under center. Lasik goes in motion. Handoff. left side. Salerno is going to get to the outside, but he's not going to be able to cut around the edge, and he'll be tackled around the four, maybe the three.
And obviously something going on with John Jones today. Not sure what it is, but we have not seen him yet in this game. And what that means is more opportunities for Salerno. And he has looked solid in that role, giving him the opportunity down around the goal line. That shows some real trust from the coaching staff to let a guy who's number four technically on the depth chart coming into this game get the carries around the goal line.
From the three-yard line, Peroni's going to keep it and try to follow his blockers, something you maybe see at the one-yard line, but usually not the three on the quarterback sneak.
I think they really like the fact that they have blockers in front of him, and then they've got Derek Robinson, who always seems to get a good push on Peroni from behind as well. He comes firing off and just shoves his quarterback in the back, and they've gotten some good yardage on that in the past. Not this time.
Yeah. Only one to the two.
You got some big boys in there on the defensive side for King's College, just clogging that inside. Jacoby Forsman at 270, Brian Hicks at 295.
Third down. Lysak in motion. He'll go against Salerno, left side, looking for somewhere to go, and he's knocked down at the two. Thought he got a little face mask in on there, but no flags were thrown.
You couldn't see it very well, though. It was blocked because of all the congestion defensively, but it's fourth down and goal. You're this close. But I'll be honest with you, John, I take the points here. You've had three shots inside the five. You haven't done it yet.
But I'm just surprised that you're going to your third guy on the depth chart when you're down inside the 10-yard line few straight times.
I understand what you're saying. This needs to be a Peroni roll.
Backs in the eye. Salerno still the deep back. Lysak in motion. Peroni under center. Fourth and goal. They'll go for it. Play action. He's rolling left. Looking, throws for Berberick, the tight end, and he's got it. Touchdown. Peroni to Berberick.
The last time they were on the goal line, that's the sort of play I was calling for. Let's see if we can leak the tight end out. This time, they fake. They go ball side. With everybody going that direction, Berber comes back the other way. Peroni turns back the other way on the fake, comes to the left of the formation, and Berberick has a couple yards of separation. Peroni throws exactly where his tight end can catch it, and the third catch of the year for the junior tight end is his first touchdown reception, gives LVC the lead.
Marcus Brown in for the extra point kick. They'll line it up. Snap, hold. Kick on the way, and it's good. Well, step out, 1:57, a play in the half. LVC in front, 17-14 on Kings. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Now the Flying Dutchmen have been down in this game, but they have battled back, and now they've got the lead 17-14 here at King's Homecoming.
And the last drive was a 12-play, 59-yard drive after the turnover, 6 minutes and 16 seconds. So the longest drive for either team of the game, and it ends up with the LVC touchdown on fourth down. LVC, the team in this conference who has gone for fourth down more than anybody else, 11 times coming into this game. They've made it four. Now they'll make it 5 out of 12. Actually, it would be 5 out of 13. They had called for it already, but still. Joe Beeler has decided that he's going to take some chances, and it pays off there.
Benz kicks this one off, taking it to 10 by Miller, up to the 20, up to the 30, the 35, and found a hole, but still got tripped up. And it'll be tackled at the 38.
That return was there last time. And just like that play, Miller was one crease away from breaking it.
He's dangerous. So offside on LVC. Kings will just take it.
Yep.
And smart, good return.
Yeah, but you get 5 yards on it anyways. That's one of those penalties that I don't understand why, but they include that one on the return.
They'll mark it to the 43. Kings will go with a double slot. Thompson back there to the right of Whitehead. From their own 43 and down by three. He'll hand it off up the middle. Big hole there. Thompson to the 40, to the 35, and tackled at the LVC 31-yard line.
They're having a lot of success straight up the gut. And some of that needs to fall on the inside linebackers. They're so worried about pass coverage that they're getting caught in the wash, and they're not reacting well enough on the run fakes.
26 on the run by Thompson. Whitehead, first down, 10 rolling left. Gets rid of it and gets clocked. He throws it out of bounds, but, man, did he get leveled when he got rid of it.
Tommy Gallagher comes rushing off the edge, John, and that was a hit that was delivered just as that ball was thrown. Clean hit up high, but around the arms, around the shoulders. So it wasn't a headshot or anything like that. And also, it was a blow that was delivered right as the ball was being delivered.
Second and 10. Whitehead in the pocket, throws across the middle. Miller has it. He fumbles the football and then crawls back on it at the 25. He was down on his knees and somehow recovered it.
Now, Lobach knocked it loose. Good hands from the freshman linebacker, being able to pop that ball out of there, because otherwise it's a first down. Now it's third down and a key conversion coming up for the Monarchs.
Third and four at the 25. Double slot. Whitehead looking left, throwing. He's got a man. Touchdown, Maroney. Quick response, and Maroney finishes it off.
And Nick Tucker was out on an island because the safeties had to go elsewhere, and that cut was made to the inside, and I think Tucker was expecting somebody to be there to help out. There was nobody there. They sent pressure from the right side, and Schumacher, offensive line, picks it up, gives Whitehead plenty of time to pick out his man, and fires the touchdown strike to Maroney.
Tyler Maroney, 25-yard touchdown reception. Kenasevich in for the extra point kick. That's on the way and good. We'll keep it right here. Kings responding very quickly.
Yeah, and the problem is they responded so quickly that they were able to march right down the field, and LVC has less than a minute left to go, and it's an offense that we haven't seen them really try to throw the football very much so far, so I don't hold out much hope without a big kickoff return here, John, of LVC trying to do much with the final moments of this first half. But if they want to, they still have two timeouts left.
Yeah, 21-17 in favor of Kings with 53 seconds on the clock.
What that does, though, too, you had LVC, who was down 14-3. It looked like they were starting to finally figure out how to stop the Kings' offense. And just like that, any of that momentum, any of those good feelings that they would have had going into the locker room, completely taken away, and now you're right back to the drawing board in square one.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Glad to have you along. 4-point lead for King's College.
Not the only game going on up in Wilkes-Barre today, or at least in the vicinity. One game to keep an eye on right now. Misericordia right now upsetting Lycoming 14-6 as they are just shy of halftime. That's one I think that would surprise most people at this point, especially how poorly Misericordia has gotten off to starting this season with the spread in the games that they played in. But they are really playing well today against Lycoming.
Kickoff with the win. Gavel's going to take it back at the 3, up to the 10 far side, 15, 20 along the sideline, 25, 30 up to the 35, and then driven out of bounds.
That gives them a chance to think about doing something with this football. I think they have to here.
I think they'll stay conservative.
I
don't think they'll try to air it out, especially going into the wind and with how quickly Kings can score on you.
That being said, the pass that they went to earlier with Saylor with that stop-and-go motion.
Yeah.
I think they believe against the secondary for King's College, they can double-move this team. And they might be able to pull something off. And I think it's going to be important if they try to do that, if they try to make a move like that, they try to throw the short pass first and then go to the double move.
LVC from its own 36, slot to the near side. Peroni in the shotgun. He's going to roll to the left. He's looking. He'll throw the out pass. Sailor will catch it up around the 45 and goes out of bounds. It's a gain of 9.
There's your short pass. It's setting up something bigger if they want to try to go to it. They did flip-flop the senior, Tyler Majasek, in secondary coverage over on this near side for that play and sent the freshman Vascos on the other side. And now Sailor's going to be seeing Vascos in coverage and see if they try to go to Sailor again against the freshman.
Sailor and Gavel on the right side. Peroni's going to roll to the right and looks to run it. Cuts it up at the 45 and spun down at the 48.
And that's a play specifically used to pick up a first down. But LVC has a lineman who's a little slow getting up, and that's actually a bad break because he gets right back up. He stays down. And they might have to call a timeout, get this clock stopped instead. Yeah. It's taking them a lot of time.
A lot of time. It's still ticking at 25 seconds. And once again, we've complained about this in the past. We've seen them taking so much time. And here's Peroni rolling left, looking, throwing, intercepted at the 40. He overthrew. And now Kings gets it back with 11 seconds to go. He was looking.
Patrick Clark, the freshman tight end. They're probably their best pass-receiving tight end, pure pass receiver in Clark. This overthrew him in Bobby Russell, his second interception of the season for the Monarchs defense. I don't know if Whitehead can throw it this far.
I'm sure he's going to try. He's got some wind.
He's got the wind at his back. And the other thing is he's got some tall receivers. Mm-hmm. And that may be the reason they can take a shot at this one. You got Maroney at 6'4", Flynn at 6'3". And it just comes down to, is he going to have enough time to throw the football as far as he needs to?
They're talking about it a lot. 11 seconds to go in the second quarter. 21-17. Kings leading and with the football from their own 45.
I've seen a lot of this kid throwing the ball. I think he's got the arm to do it. It'll be close.
Trips left. Split right. Whitehead. Hitting flush to the right side, still looking, throws down the near side, and it's tipped away, incomplete, was looking for Flynn.
The key is the pressure, though, John. Yeah. The fact that they were able to force him out of the pocket, did not allow him to stand up there and wind up. And the best he could do is try to throw the football down. It would have been the right area if they catch the football, if that ball would have been on target. If they catch the football, they'd have a shot at a field goal attempt from right around where they were. Instead, they'll have to go for end zone here. And can LVC get pressure to, again, not allow him to wind up and throw the football?
3 seconds to play in the half. Again, trips to the far side. Miller on the near side. Thompson back there next to Whitehead. From his own 45, he'll throw short down the near side to Miller. Then he'll lateral it, and immediately tackled as Mike Palmer. So the old hitch and ladder in some respect, but didn't get him much.
And your clue there was all of the tall receivers were out of the game. I'm looking up on that play thinking, where are the tall guys if you're going to go deep? And that's what they came up with instead. It doesn't get to the end zone, but Kings has the lead going into half.
We've reached halftime, and we'll step out for a 3-minute break and legal identification at the half. It's Kings 21, LVC 17, back in 3 minutes on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function?
Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
WMSSFM.com, WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
And welcome back here to King's College. Brian Koch with you here on the Halftime Show. John Wilsbach will join us again in just a little bit. We are at halftime and King's College with lead on LVC at the half, 21-17. Let's take a look at the scoreboard around the MAC. Some interesting games going on right now at this point. Probably the marquee matchup on paper coming in would be the matchup between Albright and Delaware Valley. And at halftime, it has not disappointed. Delaware Valley has a touchdown pass from Darden to Jensen, but Albright has countered with a score of their own. The difference is a field goal from the Aggies. They have a 10-7 lead, and that game is at halftime. The blowout of the weekend so far is Widener and Wilkes, although Wilkes has come back and has gotten back in that game. 22-7, as they are about 2.5 minutes from halftime for Widener in the first half. They have been able to jump out quickly on a good performance from Alex Kriv to their quarterback, who's thrown for 118 yards and a touchdown in the first half of play. Stevenson struggling to get rid of FDU Florham at home for Stevenson. They're only up 21-15, 4:41 left to go in the second quarter, as the Mustangs, a week ago, able to knock off LVC, and so far struggling to get rid of the pesky Devils, who are winless on the season coming in. And maybe the shocker at halftime, it's been two Leap to Gillison touchdowns, one of 57 yards, the other of 38 yards, and Misericordia at the half has a 14-6 lead on Lycoming College. So that's your wrap-up of the games going on across the MAC so far. Let's look at the statistics from this one. In the first half, LVC, 134 yards on the ground, 47 through the air. That's a play selection of 8 passes, 25 runs for 181 yards. For Kings, 110 ground yards, 201 air yards, 20 rushes, 26 passes, so a lot more balance in there, 46 plays, but 311 yards of total offense for the Monarchs offense in the first half. LVC has the time of possession battle, 16.5 to 13.5, but the bugaboo again for LVC defensively. Third down conversions, and King so far 5 of 7 offensively in that category. LVC has done well themselves, 3 of 6 in that category, and also have converted 1 for 1 on fourth down. Flying Dutchman 2 for 2 in the red zone. Kings 2 for 3 in the first half. Each team has fumbled the ball and lost it once. Each team has had a pass intercepted in the first half of play, so the turnover battle is even at 2 apiece. Individually, let's look at the individual stats here in the first half for LVC. Brendan Irving, 9 carries, 60 yards on the ground. did lose a fumble in the first half of play. Tim Peroni, 4 carries, 33 yards, and his fourth rushing touchdown of the season. Steve Salerno has 5 carries for 20 yards. Ryan Fink, 6 for 18 yards. And Derek Robinson, a carry for 3 yards in the first half. Peroni is 4 for 8, 47 yards, a touchdown, and an interception, has not been sacked in the first half of play. Travis Saylor has 2 of those catches for 36 yards. Irving has another one for 9, and Dylan Berberick has a touchdown catch of 2 yards. Defensively, Spencer Moser is the guy who once again leads the way with 6 tackles. Kyle Murray also with 6 tackles in the first half. Tommy Garner, Brendan Yetter each have 5 tackles apiece. Interception the first half was by Spencer Moser for LVC, and they had Adam Wagaman recovering a fumble. For King's College, they were led in the first half running the football by their freshman running back Alvante Thompson, 7 carries for 59 yards. Zach Funk, 6 carries, 41 yards. Zach Whitehead, the quarterback, 6 carries for 24 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half of play. They did try to run one other play, and they called it a running play when Devin Weidman came around, grabbed the ball from the quarterback on a jet sweep motion, ends up fumbling the ball, and where it was recovered was 14 yards behind the line of scrimmage by LVC, so that's the loss of the play by Weidman on that running play. Whitehead has been very sharp, especially early, 17 of 26, 201 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, has not been sacked in the first half, and has spread the ball around to a plethora of wide receivers. Marquise Miller, the leading number of receptions, 4 of them with 30.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery. Welcome back at halftime. John Will Spock with you. Apologize for the technical drop there, but we are back at halftime. Brian got all the stats out of the way that he needed to, so we'll keep moving on. It is homecoming here at Kings. A slightly expanded halftime. 21-17 our score. In favor of Kings on LVC. Let's run down what else is going on in the LVC sports. We'll start with men's soccer. And today playing at home against Eastern Mennonite University. Right now, the men's soccer team on a 3-game win streak, 6-1 overall. Let's see, they won on Wednesday, 2-1 down in Langhorne. Won last weekend against Wilkes, 2-0. So the men's soccer team looking to be in good shape right now. Let's head over into women's field hockey. They are
at this moment, playing Albright College. And LVC leads 2-0 in the second half. So LVC field hockey, 6-2 overall on the season. They lost, though, however, this past week on Wednesday up at Susquehanna University, 3-2. That ended a nice 5-game win streak they had going on. Let's head into women's soccer. And women's soccer 5-1 thus far. Incidentally, they are playing King's College in Annville right now. Had a big win earlier this week. Talk about that in a little bit. But right now it's a 1-0 lead, LVC against King's in women's soccer. That is in the second half. The 11-1 victory earlier this week was against Summit University of Pennsylvania. And they also beat Etown College last weekend 1-0. There's some great playing going on by the women's soccer team. JV football, we're talking to some of the coaches there. And last weekend, a 28-13 loss against McDaniel. They had the lead in that game, but just kind of let things squander away in the second half. Now, they do have the weekend off this week. No game. Next weekend, they'll travel up to Selins Grove on Sunday, October 2nd, and they'll play at Susquehanna University. The following weekend, homecoming weekend, no game for that. So the men's JV football team still looking for its first win of the season. About golf, tend to sometimes forget to mention things with that. Today, the golf team in the Gettysburg College Fall Invitational. Earlier this weekend, they were at the Elizabethtown College Fall Invitational. And let's see, trying to get some information on who did well there. Tomatini had a 1-over par 72. Tied for 7th in that tournament earlier in the week. And hopefully I'm not forgetting anyone. Oh, I failed to check out the volleyball team. Here we go. 7-4, rather 7-4 on the season thus far for volleyball. But I think they've found their groove. They have won 5 in a row. They beat Arcadia on Wednesday 3-2. Penn State Harrisburg last Thursday. Hood, Rowan, and Penn State Altoona before those. 3-0 in the conference, 7-4 overall for women's volleyball. It just seems like all the LVC sports right now are having a fantastic, successful season, and you like seeing that. Before you know, we're going to be talking about games and practices. Who knows? Basketball will soon be getting things going. Ice hockey will soon have things moving along. In fact, the first ice hockey for men is set for October 29th in Hershey against Stonehill College. And the basketball schedule set for November. LVC men will start things off at George Mason University, Fairfax, Virginia, on Tuesday, November the 15th. And the LVC women's basketball will start this year at Elizabethtown College on Tuesday, November the 15th. So stay in touch. GoDutchman.com has all the action, has all the stats, all the live stats, what's happening, who's playing, game recaps. You don't want to miss out on that. Check out the field hockey again here real quick since they're playing Albright. 3-0 now in favor of LVC in field hockey. We're at halftime. Our score, 21-17. Kings leading the Flying Dutchman of LVC. And the Kings College Band starting to wrap things up. We remind you about homecoming. October 7th, October 8th. Lots going on. And you don't want to miss out on all the activities in Anvil that weekend. Make sure you get a hold of the alumni office and get your tickets for the tailgate party the Friday night before the football game, of course, dealing with the Hall of Fame dinner and so many other events taking place that weekend on the campus of Lebanon Valley College. And again, the full schedule is available for you on the internet. When we come back, we'll have the second half of action. It's Kings and LVC. We'll take a 2-minute break. Back in 2 minutes here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu. Welcome back. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, John Hirsch, and Gary Gruber, our studio producers. Glad to have you along. 91.1 FM, 1510 AM. Those of you listening around the globe, you can catch us on the TuneIn app on your smartphone or WMSSFM.com.
Did you recap the scoring in the first half, John?
I did not, Brian.
Well, I'll do that then. That'll give us an opportunity to wait for the two teams to get back out here. you know what? I don't have that chance. They're back out there before I expected.
They're keeping this game moving, aren't they?
I do not mind that. Perfectly fine with that. Let's just recap quickly. Kings scoring first. Zach Whitehead, one-yard touchdown run with 12:09 left to go in the first. LVC answered with a Marcus Brown 25-yard field goal at 8:10 of the first quarter. Kings would take a 14-3 lead after another two-yard touchdown Whitehead run at 4:54 of the first quarter. Tim Peroni, a 27-yard touchdown run. Dylan Berberg, a 2-yard touchdown reception from Peroni. And then Tyler Maroney, 25-yard touchdown reception from Whitehead with 54 seconds left. It's 21-17. LVC trailing at half. They get the second half kick.
And Gavel takes it to the 15 to the near side, up to the 25, the 30, and tackled close to the 35-yard line as the Flying Dutchman get the football here to start the second half, down by 4 going left to right.
And the wind seems like it's died down a little bit, although we know in years of being up here, the wind is never still on this field. So it may be a crosswind. It could be a swirl at any time. The reason I mention that is because it was at the back of the players in the first half. I would love to see them come out first down, play action, and see if they can get something big early.
First and 10, Irving is the deep back, wide right and left. Peroni under center. Irving's going to get the carry, trying to go to the right side, and crawls his way up to the 38-yard line. It's a gain of 3.
Irving, though, did have a very good outside the fumble, had a very good first half, maybe his best half of the season so far, as he's up over 60 yards rushing now with that carry. Just trying to find creases for him, and it's difficult against defenses that are stacked up against the run.
Second and 7. Play action. Peroni throws across the middle, and it's caught right at the line of scrimmage by the tight end, Trey Manning. No gain on that one. Peroni did that reverse about face on the play action, had a man in his face.
The more important thing is no gain but no loss, because Peroni was back there, and he had a guy right in his face, as you said, and that would be a big loss, considering they were hoping that the defensive end or the linebacker on that side would have bought the play fake. And I believe that was the linebacker on that side who was coming after him, that being C.J. Curry. So Peroni able to get the ball back to the line of scrimmage.
Third and 7. In the shotgun, Peroni's going to keep it. Running up the middle across the 40 and dives up to the 44, but he's going to be a yard shy of the first down.
This will be interesting. I think you have to punt it here, but yeah, they are going to move the punt team onto the field. But
I was going to say, if not, then you line up quick and you quick run the play. Instead, they were looking to the sideline waiting for a decision.
You do have the former running back, Spencer Moser, as your punter. And you have Ryan Fink, who's a running back, as the guy who's back there, as the guy calling for the snap.
Miller back to receive, standing at his own 17. Moser at his 30. Good snap. Oh, man, Moser took a long time getting that one away, but does. Bounces at the 28, takes an LVC bounce. Miller grabs it, breaks two tackles, gets up to the 25, and tripped up to the 30-yard line.
Dangerous play for Miller. Around a little bit of congestion, the LVC gunners had run down and were expecting that ball to bounce past Miller, and he grabs it and takes it back the other way. He doesn't catch that one clean. He's answering to something on the sideline. Instead, it saves about 10 yards of field position.
Well, the big question is, has Vince Pantaloon and his defensive assistants been able to make some adjustments, some meaningful adjustments at halftime that will actually stop this Kings defense or offense?
It all depends. I think they have to continue laying off of the pressure and try to max coverage.
Trips near side, but they're going to hand it off to Funk, bouncing off to the left side. They'll get up across the 30 to the 32. It's a gain of 2.
I think the guys we have to watch for LVC defensively in the second half are going to be the linebackers. In the 4-2-5, those linebackers have to do a good job of reading plays to fill in terms of run coverage. If they can stop the Kings running game, it makes them one-dimensional, and that would be a benefit.
Second and 8, Whitehead throws. As soon as he delivers it, it is complete in a gain of just a few yards. I think that was Palmer who caught it, yeah.
Schumacher and Gallagher both converge on the stop. They broke on the ball very well. Shows you the zip that Whitehead has on the ball.
Now you got a third and three from their own 37. Whitehead in the pocket. Going to the right, looking, still looking, getting outside. Now he'll toss it upfield. It's incomplete. He had Zach Funk wide open in midfield, and he did not hold on to the football.
Yeah, ball thrown behind Funk a little bit, but that's a play that the senior running back has got to make. Whitehead did a tremendous job of just keeping that play alive, string it to the sideline, string it to the sideline. And LVC defensively did, once again, they did not put pressure. They tried to pressure with the front four. They played max coverage, and it gave him nowhere to really throw the ball. As he continued working and rolling out, somebody finally came open because of a loss of concentration. That's the play that you have to prevent for LVC.
Low punt hangs up in the wind a little bit and bounces near the 30, and Schumacher will step away from it, and it will be down at the 29-yard line. So Eric Hanke puts one to the 29, and LVC will take over there. Still down by 4 points early in the third.
And, John, let's go back to that last defensive play for LVC. It's Funk dropping the football that gives LVC the ball back. But realistically, that's the sort of concentration breakdown that we've seen on third downs, where they keep the concentration, and then it just at one moment, it breaks on them, especially when the quarterbacks have been getting out of the pocket. They get out of the pocket, and somebody breaks down defensively, loses an assignment, and then there's that play that's made. That's the thing that has to improve.
First and 10 from their own 29. Irving is the deep back. He'll get the carry. Check that. It's going to be Salerno back in there, and he'll get up across the 30. It was Salerno. So he's gone back to Salerno in this game. And he'll pick up a few yards up to the 32, brings up second and 7.
One thing I'm going to have to look at next week, is I don't have the time to do it right now, is but how many first down running plays and how many first down passing plays. And that's what's making it so predictable offensively and so difficult when 8-9 guys are in the box to try to run on first down.
Second and 7. Now it's Irving trying to go to the right, back to the middle, hit at the 35 and spun up to the 37 with a late flag thrown.
That's a good cut from Irving. We'll see if they get something out of this, too. It's going to be a hold, though, against LVC. Back judge saw something there.
And I'll mark it back.
Trying to lip read. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
No.
I think they said 80. And they did have 80 on the field, so.
10:50 to go in the third, 21-17. It's moved all the way back to the 26 now. And it brings up a second and 13. So the tight ends come out. They'll go with Keene on the far side, Baxter on the near side, Gavel in the slot. Peroni rolling to the left, looking, throwing. He finds Zimnik caught at the 35.
A good route run by Zimnik, too, using his body the entire way to keep himself between himself and Joseph Davis, the safety on the play who had to step up on the three-receiver set to cover the slot.
Third down and a long three.
Zimnik, one of the bigger wide receivers that LVC has, especially size-wise, 6 foot, 205 pounds for the wide receiver out of Milford, Pennsylvania.
Trips to the right side. Peroni shotgun rolling to the right. Looking, still looking. He's got Baxter wide open, waiting for the ball. He'll catch it, and he has the first down at the 33-yard line.
And that's what Tim Peroni can do for you. He rolls out, got pressure on him. Fink picked up the blitz just well enough, and he sees backside of the play that the speedster, Colt Baxter, the junior out of Dillsburg, is able to find a little bit of a hole down the middle of the field in between the hashes, and he just throws it for all he's worth, and Baxter holds onto the football.
Gavel wide, near side, Sailor on the far side. First and 10 at the 33 of Kings, going left to right, Irving the deep back. He'll get the carry, trying to go to the left side. Cuts it up at the 30, gets hit near the 29, and still being pushed forward into the 26 of Kings.
You get a good pass play, and all of a sudden your offense has a little bit of giddy up in the step. A 31-yard pass play followed up by a 7-yard run on first down, and now the LVC offense is on the move, down by four.
LVC with a second down and three at the 26 of Kings. Got Sailor and Gavel in that right side slot. Peroni under center. Hand off up the middle. Irving runs into a wall, nowhere to go, and pushed back. Surprised that they did not throw a flag on that. I really thought that Kings was in the neutral zone.
That's why the play didn't work, because LVC snapped the ball when they thought that there was going to be an offside call. Nothing came, and there was no penetration at all. LVC did not get off the ball well on the offensive line. No penetration means no place for Irving to run.
Third down and two at the 25 of Kings. Wind is to their back. Irving the deep back with a slot to the right side. Play action. Peroni back to pass. Getting pressure. Gets rid of it far side, but was looking for Irving. And now a fourth down and two.
Jake Minetti, the free safety, was coming on the blitz, and LVC was surprised by it completely. But you knew he wasn't going to get home and get the sack, because the only guy on this team who could sack anyone is Bruce Damon. He's got all five of the team's sacks coming into this game. So Damon wasn't back there. They couldn't close it down, and Peroni did a masterful job of just getting rid of the ball. But now on fourth down, it's four down territory, and they're going to go for it here.
Fink will line up to the right. A Peroni, who's going to keep it, runs, and he will not get it. Peroni stopped right at the 25.
Great stop from the Kings defense. But Peroni, I'm going to guess that that was a called running play, because he tucked it way too soon if you're trying to fake somebody out. And the Kings defense never really had to worry. They didn't have to worry about dropping into pass coverage.
No.
And this, again, goes to the predictability of the offense overall. Are you worried about the passing game right now? Not so much. So you're geared up for the run. You're looking for the run. And even on a play that should be more deceptive, they're not fooled.
I'll take over their own 25. Whitehead's going to keep it up across the 30. And he'll pick up several all the way up to the 33-yard line.
That, on the other hand, has been a more deceptive play. And that is that zone read that Whitehead has done a really good job today of really reading the LVC defense. And Kings has gotten good blocking on it, too, when he's going to the outside.
Second down and two from their own 33. Whitehead, shotgun, throws right side, under throws the intended receiver, Tyler Maroney, incomplete.
Yeah, poor throw that time. That one, Maroney was open, had his receiver there. And Whitehead, who's over 64% passing coming into this drive, is through one of the first really bad balls he's thrown since his interception.
Third down and two, slot to the right side, split on the left side. Whitehead handing it off. Thompson trying to go up the middle. He will be pushing and grinding it out. He'll give him the first down. Probably there at the 35, he should have it.
Well, you know they're not measuring.
No.
Nobody measures anymore.
Injured LVC player now.
It looks like Austin McGuire, one of the defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Sophomore out of Lititz, Pennsylvania. 6'2", 255 pounds. Definitely in some duress.
So McGuire down on his back. Both teams go to their own side and their own huddles. 7:10 to play here in the third. 21-17. We're back home next week. LVC trailing in this one, but they will host Delaware Valley next week. We'll be on the air 12:45, 1 o'clock with a kickoff. We've seen some great battles with LVC and Delaware Valley over the years.
You're really forcing yourself hard to say Delaware now, aren't you?
I am. It's tough. What can they do to me if I say Del Valley?
You have been a big-time Del Valley every time we've ever called one of the games.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, we want to be more legitimate. Okay, that's fine. We're still calling you Del Valley. But, yeah, it's they're up 10-7 right now against Albright. Really struggling. Their offense has been in full gear the entire year so far, including their blowout victory over this Kings team a week ago, 49-14. They are struggling to move the ball against Albright in a game that Albright, desperate, if they're going to stay in the MAC race at all, they need a win today. So they're hanging tough. 11 15 left to go in the third there.
McGuire walks off the field, but with a limp. Here's Whitehead back to pass, throwing down that right side. This one takes off into the wind and out of bounds, incomplete.
Tommy Garner from the backside of that play absolutely polished Whitehead in the backfield. Barely got rid of that football and had no chance of completing it. He just had to unload that one as far as he could down the field, and out of bounds it goes. We're seeing more pressure come, and the linebackers that I had mentioned before, when they don't see run, they can come in and pressure.
Handoff this time to Thompson on the near side, being pulled from behind, but still able to get a yard out of it up to the 36. Now brings up a third down and 9.
Wyatt McLeod, a freshman defensive end out of Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, grabbed a hold of the jersey. Was enough to help him make the tackle, a freshman tackling a fellow freshman. Chance for the defense to get off the field.
Trips to the right side. Flynn is split on the left. 3rd and 9 from his own 36. LVC showing blitz. Whitehead in the pocket has time. Throws incomplete. Put it behind Palmer, the intended receiver. 4th down and the punting unit now comes in.
They're really bugging him, the fact that they are playing max coverage. And with their 4 or sometimes 5 receivers in patterns, they've got 7 defensive backs and players who are in coverage, and they are not finding the holes they did in the first half. That's the adjustment, John. And credit Coach Pantalone and the defensive staff for recognizing that that's the way they're going to have to get this done.
Punt going into the wind. Schumacher runs up and takes it on the fly and gets nailed at the 45. Now he just started sprinting towards it because that ball was coming back down quick.
Yep, and he recognized that from the first punt that he was too late to get to. This time there was no hesitation, broke on the ball, and made sure that he caught the ball in flight. The important thing is he didn't get a lot on the return, but he also didn't allow any sort of a roll, so he does save field position.
LVC trailing 21-17 with 6:09 to play in the third. Offense back out onto the field. Backs in the eye with a slot to the far side from their own 45. It'll be Irving trying to go left. No one there. Decides to cut it back up. And he's able to make something out of nothing. Gets 5 up to midfield.
The only reason that play works is because Brendan Irving recognizes the over-pursuit defensively, because Kings knew what was coming, and they went right to where the ball side was. So as LVC continues to just play, run the ball every single first down play, Kings playing into that, and their over-pursuit actually cost them as they gain 6.
Keenan Zimnick this time in the right side slot with backs in the eye on 2nd down and a short 5. They'll go Irving trying to go up the middle, and as soon as he gets the football, he also gets a greeting card from King's College defense.
Jordan O'Hearn, a sophomore defensive end, beats the block of the guy in front of him. I have a feeling, if I'm looking at it, Anthony Sorbin's out there right now at right guard, and he was looking in the backfield when that play happened. Just flat-out whiffed on his block. That'll happen sometimes. And at that point, you hope that the running back is able to have enough room to make that guy miss. Didn't happen.
3rd and 9 from their own 46. Slot right. Peroni's going to roll to the right. Looking. Throws incomplete. It was a little behind Saylor, and Peroni had no time as he got hit upon releasing that football.
John, we go back, though, to the decision of the play calling, where if you're going to run the ball, and you're going to run the ball as incessantly as LVC is, you're going to have down and distances where your quarterback is going to be in obvious passing downs, and it really puts this passing offense and hampers them. Any pressure, they can't get the ball off.
Moser to punt, Miller to receive. Moser standing at his own 34. Gets this one away high. Wind takes it to the near side. Miller grabs it to 17. Does a little dance, and then he'll be wrapped up and taken down. No gain on the return for King.
Got to credit the coverage team that time, because this is a coverage team. The special teams have been something that has not been a strength early on this year for LVC. They have worked a lot on the special teams to try to improve that. And on that play, great coverage. Gunner's not over-pursuing. when Miller tries to cut one way, comes back the other way, he's surrounded on all sides. So a good job of staying in lanes and making sure an elusive returner can't get free. Poor field position for the Monarchs.
Trips to the right side. Thompson back there to the left of Whitehead. Miller goes in motion. They'll give him the carry. Sheds one tackler. Flags are thrown, and he's knocked out of bounds up around the 24.
And this one's coming back. We have an illegal block coming up against Kings.
4:28 to go in the third. 21-17. Kings leading the Flying Dutchman.
And what was a bad situation field position wise for the Monarchs becomes even worse. That's a spot foul. Goes back
far.
9 yards, half the distance to the goal.
All the way back to the 9 yard line. First down, 19. Trips right. Whitehead in the pocket, throws. He's got a man upfield. That's Austin White, and he has the first down up at the 31-yard line.
Shoulder fake was all it took for Whitehead to find White as he freezes the middle coverage. And also what that does is it freezes the safeties in the backside of that play. It opens up some room in between.
This time, Whitehead will throw the short pass to Miller, and he'll catch it around the 37 and dive up to the 40-yard line.
And all it takes sometimes for an offense that really depends on rhythm is that one completion to get them going. So the Monarchs get that huge completion to pick up a first down deep in their own end. Now, all of a sudden, this offense seems like it has a little bit more zip, a little bit more rhythm to it.
Second and one from their own 40. Whitehead, shotgun, throws, incomplete. Was looking to get it across to Flynn.
Mike Gilger
on his backside, yeah.
Mike Gilger, we're going to call it good coverage because there was nothing thrown as far as a flag. Had his hand on the back of the receiver, but he didn't grasp the back of the receiver. And if he has his hand back there, sometimes you'll get that call no matter what. But this time, didn't pull him.
Third and one at the 40. Fumble in the back. And he gets it back. Whitehead just somehow dropped it. Wanted to keep it.
And that was the issue because he waited until the last minute. And you got to give a lot of credit to the defensive end. That's Wyatt McLeod again, who maintained where he was going to be until the last moment and forced Whitehead at the last minute to pull that ball back out, knowing that that play probably wasn't going anywhere, thought he could get to the edge, and McLeod stayed right with him, almost got the recovery.
Eric Hanke to punt. Standing back at his own 24. Good snap, plenty of time. Low punt toward the far side, taken at the 30. And that's going to be Cramp taking it up the far sideline and out of bounds. Near the, let's see, we'll mark him out at the 39.
Well, after the offensive explosions we were seeing in the first half, John, we have seen no scoring here in the third quarter.
They've settled down, that's for sure. Both teams made their adjustments, and thus far paying off defensively.
But, John, this is the exact place that Travis Saylor, he's coming out here wide. This is where you play action and go long. Try to get something going and take advantage of the fact that you have become so predictable offensively in the running game.
Slot to the near side on first down, backs in the eye. Peroni under center. They'll go to the fullback, Lysik, up the middle, and he'll get up to the 41, a gain of just 2 yards.
And try in the middle. That's where they went early in this game anyways. It is right up the gut, first carry for Lysik in the game. LVC likes to give those fullbacks a couple carries as the game go on. Try to keep that defense honest. Try to get that quick hitter before the linebackers can make reads.
A market closer to the 42, second and seven. Irving up the middle, following the blocking. Penetrates all the way up to the 45 before being driven back. It's a gain of only 3.
Great surge, and now a down and distance where you allow your quarterback to have more of a leeway of potentially rolling out. We have not seen Peroni run as much as he did a week ago when he was the team's leading rusher. This is an opportunity for him to get out on the edge.
And King's defense, I think, has done a great job at staying in front and adjusting to his run and keeping him at bay. It'll be a third down and four. LVC at its own 45. Peroni, shotgun, quarterback draw up the middle, and he will get hit, crunched, and he will not get it. They will mark him at the 47, closer to the 48, but he'll still be over a yard shy.
4th and a yard. They're going to have to punt and play the field position game.
I don't see Moser coming out, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised about this, but I love to see this now because this puts a lot of trust in your offensive line, saying, look, we're going to go for it here. We're going to pick this up in midfield. We trust our defense if this doesn't go right.
Two tights to the left. It's Robinson and Fink in the eye. Fourth down. They'll stretch it left to Fink. He'll have the first down across the 50 all the way to the 46 of Kings.
At times, you have to make certain play calls in certain situations. You have to feel the temperature of your own team. And I think Coach Beeler at that point felt, my team needs a lift right now. This is how we're going to do it. I keep saying it, John. This is the play action down. Because now you've had a big play. This is the momentum play that you can go with on a first down.
20 seconds remaining in the third quarter. LVC down by four. Backs in the eye. First down to 46 of Kings. Peroni giving it to Irving inside the 45. And he'll be tackled at the 41 of Kings for a gain of five. And that will do it here at the end of three quarters of play. Our score, Kings 21, LVC 17. Back in 60 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com.
WMSSFM.com, WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
LVC going right to left, second and five, handoff Irving, and he'll penetrate inside the 40 to the 37, just shy of the first down.
Third down and one, and you know what should be coming here because this team now has established, but Irving, not 100% going off the field. He's gimping again on that ankle that he banged up on the first play of the game.
Third and one at the 37 of Kings. Flying Dutchman will be going into the wind here in this fourth quarter. Salerno is the deep back behind Robinson. Lysik is on that right wing. Salerno up the middle. And he will have the first down to the 34 of Kings.
Let's roll some scores quickly. John Stevenson has extended their lead to 31-15 over FDU Florham. 10 to go in the third. Misericordia at the end of three, still leading Lycoming, 17-14. Widener having their lead cut to 22-10 against Wilkes. They're about midway through the third, and with 3 minutes left to go at Del Valle in the third quarter, they still lead Albright 10-7.
Handoff, fullback Lysik up the middle at the 30, the 25, and tackled at the 22-yard line. A first down for the LVC fullback, Evan Lysik.
And you've got a team now that even with a quarter break, you're starting to wear down these guys inside. This King's College defense does not do a lot of substituting on the fly, but now we're seeing a couple guys coming out, guys on the interior of the line, just trying to keep some bodies fresher out there as LVC continues to try to grind them on the ground.
Kerry Wise will line up wide on the right side. Irving is the deep back behind Robinson. Irving the carry left side. Following the blocks, gets a hold, cuts back into the middle inside the 15 and knocked down close to another first down near the 12, and they'll move the chains.
And moving him again, Irving. I believe with that carry, he's over 100 yards. As he's got now 19 carries, and with that carry, 103 yards on the afternoon.
Those have been some hard-earned yards.
They have.
First down at the 12 of Kings in the eye again. Irving up the middle looking for something to open. Spins his way to the 10-yard line. Gain of two.
This is where things close up, though, even more. And all of your defensive players, even the guys who are back further, your safeties, even if they were creeping in before, now they're pretty much close to the line of scrimmage because there's nowhere else for them to go. So you've got more run support. It's tougher to run in the red zone, and LVC might have to find a different way to get this one in.
Gary Wise will line up split on the left side. They'll go with the two tights on the right. Second and eight at the 10. They'll go left side. Irving following. Robinson cuts at the 10, goes to the 5. Flags are thrown. May have been a face mask in there.
I thought the hand was up around the face mask when he made the cutback. So we'll see if it ends up being a hold or a face mask. Somebody's not going to be happy.
The officials talk it over.
Pointing one way. They're looking over at the Kings side, I think looking for a number. Nope.
They're going to call it the hold.
Holding LVC.
Oh. Yeah, I thought I saw that one hand get up in the face when he cut back to the inside.
It didn't look like the helmet moved, though.
No.
I was hopeful from a perspective of maybe the penalty would be on Kings because of where the flags were thrown, where they threw it almost immediately where that was. But you didn't see Irving's head snap one way or the other. Many times they won't really call that if the hand's just up around the face, man. It has to help make the tackle.
Now they move it all the way back to the 19-yard line. Shotgun, Peroni. Irving to his right, Lysak to his left. Slot to the right side. And the right tackle moved.
Leamoros moving early.
And another five, taking them back further.
And, John, what it comes down to is when you have an offense that is predicated on running the football and running the football effectively, all it takes is that one big penalty to take you out of what you want to do. So now, yeah, it is going to be up to Tim Peroni here to make something happen, most likely with his arm, if not his feet.
They bring in the receiver set now, second and long. Peroni rolling to the right, looking, throwing for the end zone, and no one there except the little black rubber pellets.
And the black rubber pellets made a great reception that time.
Yeah, Gavel kind of turned in around the 5.
It was a miscommunication, and in LVC sophisticated patterns that they run, quarterback and receivers have to read the same thing. Peroni saw the opening deep. Gavel saw something different and cut it short. And that's an incomplete pass. And now third down and a lot of yards. I think they need some yardage here just to get into field goal range. I'd like to see them actually run something safe to try to do that.
Peroni, shotgun, looking, throwing right down the middle. He's got Clark, the tight end, and he's got it down to the 2-yard line. First down. Well, hold on. Is it a first? He's going to be close. They may have spotted him at the 3.
That's a bad spot for LVC.
They spotted him 1 yard short.
That's a bad spot for the Flying Dutchman.
Now it's fourth down and one.
It may even force them to call a timeout. But
oh, I thought for sure that ball hit down right around the 2.
He did, John. It's a bad spot, and it hurts the Flying Dutchman because now they've got to pick it up here on fourth and one at the 3.
Fourth down at the 3. 1 yard to gain here. Fink, the carry left side. He'll dive for the 2. He should have it. First down, LVC.
Boy, he got a bad spot again, though, John. They may measure this one.
You're right.
That's 2 straight from the line judge on this side where they did not have the ball where we think it is. Now, we do not have the best angle. We will admit from where we are, it's not the best angle for us to try to make that judgment. But just where Clark landed alone,
yeah,
This one I didn't have as good of a view, but the second that ball was spotted, it seemed like he's going to be short. I think he's going to be short based on where he spotted. If he didn't, it's by the nose of the ball.
Yep, and it is short.
Yep.
Just a few inches. A couple of bad spots hurt LVC, yep. And Kings will get the football back near its own 2-yard line.
And they try to get him wide. And one of the problems for Fink when he ran the ball that way is when he got hit, he got turned sideways instead of going forward. And I think that was just enough to give the linesman a pause for where he was going to spot the ball originally. Tough break for LVC, but now this is where your defense, this second half, they've played much better. This is where they have to make that play that we've been looking for out of this defense. They've done that here in the second half. You cannot allow a long, sustained drive here from the Monarchs. This is where you have field position. You've got to get that football back.
And Whitehead has also got to be concerned about a pick six as well. Let's see what they do. He'll line up under center. He'll hand it off to Thompson, left side. He'll be stacked up right at the 1-yard line. They gave him forward progress close to the 3.
Austin McGuire, the guy who stopped him. And again, I think that's where he got to. We just don't have the best angle determine that.
Second down and 9 at the 3. Shotgun this time for Whitehead. Double slot, looking right, throws the out, has Miller, caught at the 5, and then he'll be driven backwards. They'll give him the forward progress up to the 6-yard line, and now a big third down coming up for Kings.
Good break on the ball by Spencer Moser, who is as short a tackler that we've seen so far from the corner position. Here's a guy who's making a real push post at the end of this season for maybe even making first or second team all-conference with what he's done at corner this season so far.
Third and 6 at the 6. King's own shotgun. Whitehead throws. Miller, he catches it around the 14, or did he trap it? They're saying he caught it for a first down.
Made the turn. He was open. And you had Miller against the safety. And you like that matchup if you are Kings. They pick up the first down.
This time Whitehead looking to pass. He'll throw it down the near side, tapped in the air, and incomplete. White could not hold on, but did they throw a flag after?
Yeah.
And they did.
Pass interference. That's the right call. Moser got beaten off the line, but the play itself had sort of broken down where Whitehead initially, he faked the handoff and realized, oh, it looked like he wanted to hand off the ball after the fact because he saw a giant hole. So he comes rolling to the side, thinking about throwing a short pass. All of a sudden, he sees his receiver, White, breaking further down the field, open. So he just lost the ball up, and Moser got beaten on the play and had to recover and hit him a little bit early.
8:59 to go in the fourth, 21-17, Kings leading LVC. Quarterback keeper, Whitehead, breaks one tackle, but then just gets back to the line of scrimmage to the 29. Give him maybe a yard, if that.
But every time that they move the ball forward, it's more time off the clock and less time that LVC offensively has to cut into this 21-17 lead.
Second down, we'll call it 8 from their own 30. Miller goes in motion. Make that Palmer in motion. Whitehead looking. Throwing down the field. He's got Miller, but too high. A little behind him, too. Couldn't pull it in. Incomplete. Third down and 8.
He had beaten two guys down the field, and also the safety was late getting over there. An accurate pass. That's a touchdown. Off the mark. And fortunately enough for LVC, that means a chance here on third down. It's a passing down. So can these guys up front, this is where Guy Zimmerman's a guy who off this left edge needs to get some pressure.
Third down, Whitehead in the pocket, throws the out to the near side, incomplete, was looking for Tyler Maroney, but so close to the sideline, couldn't pull it in, and was hit at the same time. Fourth down, now the punting, and it comes in for Kings.
Moser was on the coverage, but I think Maroney was actually bothered on the play as he made that out. He wasn't sure if he had enough yardage for the first down. I think that broke his concentration. He really sort of half-heartedly went after that ball with one hand as opposed to trying to snatch that ball back to his body.
Eric Hanke in to punt, standing at his own 17. Good snap. Unloads this one with the wind to his back. Schumacher backpedals. Gets it at the 23, up to the 25, hit at the 25, and down at the 27. And that's where the LVC offense takes over again with 8:05 to go in the game. 21-17, Kings with the lead. And all the scoring here in the first half of this game.
And if the Flying Dutchmen are going to come back, they're going to need to put 7 on the board. And is this the time that we finally see the first down throw? Or do we continue seeing this ball grinding out attack and try to make this the last drive of the game?
Irving the deep back with a slot to the right side. From the 32, up it goes. Here's Irving at the 35. 40 has the first down up to the 44.
And this is where all that running should pay dividends. And that is a more tired Kings defense. You have an offensive line that definitely has been firing off the blocks. They've been coming straight up the middle against the Monarchs D. And Irving, a lot of room there on first down.
First and 10, LVC from its own 44. Irving stays in it deep back. Peroni's going to roll to the right, looking, throwing upfield. That's complete near midfield, and a gain of several yards. Was it Gavel or Sailor? Sailor. It is Sailor with the reception.
And that also, on a first down pass, now can help loosen up this defense a little bit more. But, John, the time of possession now also is the key. LVC, over 10 minutes more possession time in this game. And it's in the second half, they've been the team being able, even not scoring, to have the more sustained drives.
Slot to the left side, backs in the eye, handoff up the middle. Irving following the blocks, pushing his way to the 47. And now it's going to bring up a third down and 2.
He can follow whatever he wants to follow on that play. When you've got somebody pulling on your back from behind the play, you're not going to go very far. And Chris Catano, the defensive end, was able to get around the edge quickly. And even though there was some stopping in the middle, he's the guy who ends up pulling Irving down shy of the first down.
Making a third and a long one at the 47. Slot left, Irving still there with his deep back. Lysik, the fullback. Peroni taking his time under center. 5 on the play clock. He'll stretch it left, and Irving has nowhere to go. He'll lose a yard back to the 48.
Bruce Damon was out there helping on the stop. He had Bobby Russell over there as well. That's their two main guys defensively, and on a big play, their playmakers step up and make that play. LVC going to go for it here.
6 minutes and 5 seconds remaining in the game, down by 4. They've got it at the 48 of Kings, and it's a 4th and 2. They'll go with Fink standing to the right of Peroni in the shotgun with a slot to the left side and a split to the right side. Peroni rolling right, looks to run it. He breaks one tackle and he dives to the 46-yard line. He will be very, very close.
He's got the first down based on where this spot's going to be. And it was second and third effort that time from Peroni. A will to get forward for the quarterback of LVC, because that play was not there. There was not enough there that he should have made that first down. That is guts from a quarterback picking it up.
First and 10 at the 46 of Kings. Clock ticking away at 5:35.
That's the thing they love about him, too. He's a competitor. He's a winner. And this is the time of game that Tim Peroni can be that man.
Slot to the left side. Play action. Peroni rolling to the right. Look, and he's got Gavel upfield. Complete. Out of bounds near the 20-yard line. Make it the 21.
Been calling for it all game, John. They pull it out now. It's the right time. After Peroni picks up the first down, it's a momentum play. You got the other team looking run. The play fake is perfect, and Gavel just cuts from the slot on the left side straight across the field. Peroni leads him perfectly, and it's a first down for LVC as the offense continues to move on this drive.
They'll mark it on the 22-yard line. First and 10, Flying Dutchman. Slot left. They'll go Irving, right side, cuts it to 20, moves to the 15. It'll be a gain of about 5 yards, maybe six.
Allows them also, John, to be conservative here, too, working a little bit more clock. They have to be wary of what's happened a couple times down in this area. You know, that one mistake, a penalty, or if you try to grind the ball out and they get a big stop on it down. So they've got to be wary, and that means maybe throwing the football at one of these next couple downs.
Second down and four at the 16 of King, slot left with Keen and Zimnik, and now the Flying Dutchmen are going to use a timeout.
There's something Peroni looked at the defense and saw that whatever play they had set up, he didn't think it was going to work. Hey, we've still got these three timeouts. This is a really important drive. We got to get in the end zone here, and they know it. Let's call this timeout and make sure.
We are with you next week at home in Anvil, LVC in Dill Valley, 12:45 of the airtime, and you can watch and listen to the game as well on LVC TV at GoDutchman.com.
And Albright has taken the lead. A couple of second-half field goals for the Lions have them ahead of Delaware Valley, 13-10. Still 11.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of that contest.
LVC has not led in this game.
Yeah, they have.
Oh.
They're up 17-14.
17-14.
It just didn't last very long. It lasted about a minute, and then King's just run down the field.
I stand corrected. You're right.
That's why you didn't remember it, because it was hard for
it
hard
so
to remember
fast.
It happened.
Second down and four. Backs in the eye. Peroni under center. Right side, Irving looking to get outside and around. Still able to find a few yards and a late flag thrown, which means it's going to most likely be a hold.
What do we say about the running game? And if you're going to be dependent on the running game, that one mistake can bring it back. There's that holding penalty. Right at the point of attack, Irving just trying to pick his way out on the outside. Wasn't much there. And as he stepped forward, making the cut right around the sideline, they see somebody grabbing a hold of somebody else. And now it is a much more difficult situation for the Flying Dutchman offense.
They'll mark it all the way back to the 25. 4:14 and counting in the fourth. LVC down by four. Now it is a second and 13.
Love to see that shovel pass come back either here or close to it.
Wise is the only receiver in there, wide to the left. Peroni's going to roll to the left, looking, now throwing for Wise. He catches it, but was he out of bounds? They're saying that he was out near the 20.
It's a nice catch from Wise. That ball was thrown. It wobbled a little bit on the way, and I think just the fact that it wobbled down and fluttered down towards the sideline did not give him the opportunity to catch the ball and pull it in before his body hit the ground.
Well, with 3:49 to play, it's definitely four down territory here for LVC.
Yeah, you can't kick a field goal here and think that you're going to definitely have to get the ball back with an opportunity. They're going to go for it here no matter what.
Slot left, split right, third and 13. Peroni in the pocket, throwing down to the left side. Saylor trying to get to it, but he was being tied up. Interference against Kings as Saylor tried to cut to the inside for the football. He was being held.
That's the freshman Eli Vascos, who did not have position at all. Saylor's working back. It's an easy call. It's not one that the home fans are going to like, but it is the easiest call that you can have on that play because Saylor has every opportunity to try to get back. Vascos grabbed it with both arms around.
Well, it's homecoming here, Brian.
Oh, my Lord.
They're going to call it against LVC.
Oh, my Lord. What a horrible call.
Are you kidding me?
That is absolutely ridiculous.
That's called homecoming call.
Welcome to Kings.
And Joe Beeler is not happy.
How can you be? Because you've just had the game ripped out of your arms potentially by the guys in stripes. You had the bad spots down there in that same area. The same guys over there making those calls. Wow.
Yeah, we've seen two bad spots.
We have seen some bad calls, and the spots are debatable. That one, I'm sorry. There is no debate there. That was atrocious officiating.
3:41 still on the clock. Kings deep in its own end, and they'll try to run it off the right side, and they'll get up to about the 4-yard line with Thompson. So LVC will now start with that clock management and call the timeout.
Let's remember one thing too, John. Even if they get that call, there's no sure thing that LVC gets in the end zone. But you like your chances a little bit more when you've got the football as opposed to the opposing team being able to work clock in your timeouts.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you in Wilkes-Barre. 3:35 to play here in this contest. 21-17, Kings leading the Flying Dutchman. It will be a second down and 9. Kings at its own 4-yard line.
A couple other scores. Widener, they jumped out to a 22-0 lead on Wilkes. They're now within 5. It's 22-17. 12 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter there. Misericordia continues. Nope, Lycoming just took the lead on them. With 7 minutes left to go there at Misericordia, it is now Lycoming 28, Misericordia 24. Misericordia has basically led the entire way until about now in that contest.
Second down and 9 from their own 4. Double slot. Again, it's going to be Thompson. Big hole at the 10. Spun at the 15 all the way up to the 20-yard line. A first down for the Monarchs.
And it looked like they had decent defense initially, but he just kept moving to the side and found that little bit of a hole. And as soon as he did, there was nobody at the second level to bring him down.
That'll keep the clock moving at 3:20 here in the fourth. The LVC down by 4. First down, though, for Kings.
This is where Kings has to be intelligent, though. They should be taking all the play clock here. And Whitehead, even though it's his first year of starting for this team, savvy enough a quarterback to understand that.
9 on the play clock. Letting it tick down. He's got the slot on the near side. Not even a slot. They've got twins on the right side. They'll go Thompson left. Looks to cut it back up the middle. Getting tackled from behind. Keeps his balance and gets all the way up to the 24.
And LVC, with only one timeout left to go, will not call it here.
Second down and about 7. Clock ticking at 2:33.
I mean, honestly, John, with the fact that Kings rushing offense coming in statistically has been one of the worst in the conference, you'd like your chances. But they've run the ball well here today. LVC has got to get a stop.
Second down and 7. Play clock once again down to 8 seconds. Taking their time, letting it tick. Shotgun. Whitehead has players to his right and left. He's going to keep it up the middle to 25, to the 30. Everyone forgot about Whitehead keeping the football, and he's going to have another first down. They slammed Thompson as soon as he looked to get the fake, and Whitehead just kept it.
He has been on the zone read with a couple of notable exceptions. He has been very good in decision-making in this game. When to hand it off, when to keep it himself. There's another example of that as Whitehead makes this a very, very difficult thing for LVC to do now with just one timeout left to go.
And the clock keeps ticking at 1:40 in the contest. 21-17, Kings leading, and with the football.
It's the right move here, too, for LVC, not taking the timeout.
Now Whitehead just quick runs up under center. He almost let the play clock expire and realized it the last second. And now LVC takes the timeout with 1:22 to play, down by 4, and Kings with the ball with a second and 7.
Boy, John, the thing that's going to be tough about this, if this ends up ending the way that it is right now, is going to be you go back to that pass interference call.
Yeah.
But even with that, there have been so many other opportunities in this game for Lebanon Valley to make a big play, to make an impact sort of a play where they can get points. They've had opportunities. Yes, that one's going to sting, but there have been other chances. And This is another example in this drive. You got them pinned back at the 2 because of the interception being back there. If you get a stop, you get the ball right back. And 2 straight first downs have put them on the brink of losing in their third game of the season.
1:22 to go in the fourth. Kings up 21-17. It is a second down and 7. And if LVC does even get the football back, they'll only have seconds left. And Kings lines up and takes the knee.
Yeah, they're not getting it back.
No.
Because it's 40-second shot, play clock.
Yep.
We're done.
Yeah. Clock's just going to keep ticking at 110 now. Yeah, they did not have to run anymore.
Nope.
Kings will come away with a homecoming victory here in Wilkes-Barre.
They'll improve their record to 2-2. They stay alive in the race in the MAC. LVC, this is going to be a heartbreaker. And going back home will be nice, but facing Delaware Valley and Widener the next 2 weeks is going to be just as difficult.
Well, you get a stoppage stopping the clock at 39 seconds. So they wanted to wait till under that, and Kings then calls a timeout, and I guess just wants to tell the guys, I don't know, be smart at the end of this or show some sportsmanship. I don't know.
Just stop the clock just to make sure that they have exactly what they expect to. And
some tough breaks for LVC, but also some missed opportunities in this game. As much as you want to blame or place the blame of some of these mistakes
I'm still going to.
That was a horrible pass interference.
That's the worst call that I've seen, probably. And we've seen some bad calls. That's the worst call I think I've seen in a decade.
With pass interference especially, yeah. So one more take of the knee. And Whitehead does. And Kings will win its homecoming game 21-17 over LVC. When we come back, we'll have for you the post-game show, get some comments from Joe Beeler, and wrap things up with the final stats and out-of-town scoreboard. 21-17, Kings over LVC. Back after this in 3 minutes on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
The LVC Friday Night Comedy Series at Leedy Theater will have you in stitches. September 9th, the college will host comedian, magician, and balloon artist John Cassidy. On September 16th, it's comedian Glenn Tickle of Laughing Squid. On September 23rd, Regina DeSica will take the stage. September 30th, it's comedian Steve McCone. And the homecoming show on October 7th will feature mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman at Lutz Hall. All shows begin at 9 p.m. For more information, lvc.edu.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
And welcome back here to King's College. The home folk are happy. Homecoming is successful. A 21-17 victory for Kings over Lebanon Valley College today. People who are not happy right now are the visitors. And Lebanon Valley College feels like, I'm sure at this point, they got one taken away from them here today. But some questionable stuff down the stretch from the Stripes. But the bottom line is this. The opportunities were there in that second half for LVC to wrest control of this game, and at no time were they able to take the lead. Let's recap the scoring of this one, because basically it's the same recap we gave at halftime. Kings scored first on a Zach Whitehead one-yard touchdown run. That was countered by a Marcus Brown 25-yard field goal for LVC. Whitehead's second touchdown run of the game came with 4:54 of the first quarter. Our score at the end of one was 14-3, Kings. Tim Peroni, though, with a 27-yard touchdown run, made it 14-10. LVC's first lead of the game was at 1:57 of the second quarter, as Dylan Berwick on a fourth down catches a two-yard touchdown pass from Peroni. The Marcus Brown extra point made it 17-14, but Kings would end up with the decisive touchdown drive, a four-play 57-yard drive, 56 seconds. Tyler Maroney, a 25-yard touchdown reception from Whitehead before halftime. No scoring in the second half. LVC loses this one. Let's go down the field to John.
All right, thanks, Brian. Joe Beeler, head coach. This is a tough one to swallow. You guys had your chances?
Had a lot of opportunities and didn't take advantage of them. Tail of two different halves, and really pleased with the improvement our defense made in the second half, and we definitely made improvement with our special teams. Offensively in the second half, just too many mistakes. We made mistakes that stopped us, and some opportunities to make plays that we left out there on the field, and that's disappointing. And handed the Kings, they battled hard, and they made the big plays when they counted, and that's just it's disappointing, because I think we're a good football team, but our record doesn't show that yet.
All right, but the controversial play of the game near the end here, pass interference, and from our vantage point, everyone up there, it seemed like Gavel was clearly blocked off. Trying to get to the football.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you have to give the offensive player an opportunity to get to the ball, and, he was trying to fight to get to that ball, and that guy just played through him, and, it's a judgment call. That guy made that call, and really disappointing because he's the same official that made the call on us, pass interference, in a very similar situation down here on their sideline earlier in the game. Definitely the calls didn't go in our favor today, that's for sure.
I said Gavel, I meant Sailor on that one, but you also stalled out. You had those chances down inside the five.
Three holding calls in key situations for us really hurt us, the three holds.
Defensively, though, both teams settled down in the second half and finally started finding some answers to stop any offense with a bend but don't break.
Yeah. I mean, I was really, really pleased with the way our defense came out in the second half, and as I said to them, they played the way they're capable of playing, and that's really exciting for our future.
All right, Ben, back to the drawing board, and it doesn't get any easier. You got Del Valle next week.
Absolutely. We're at our place. We're excited.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Joe Beeler back upstairs.
Thank you very much, John. And LVC takes this one on the chin today and unable to get the victory. 21-17 is the final in this one. Well, we're going to step out for a quick break, try to get some post-game statistics as well as a post-game scoreboard. That's coming up after this. LVC loses to Kings on the road. 21-17, back after this on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's the 150th year of Lebanon Valley College, and homecoming is just around the corner. Register now for the biggest event of the year, the weekend of October 7th. On that Friday, it's the Blue and White Golf Classic, alumni reception, outdoor party, and Hall of Fame dinner. Saturday, the parents' breakfast, tailgate party, football game, and numerous other events and reunions. And on Sunday, an alumni brunch and music department concert. For more information and the full schedule, go to lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com.
And welcome back one final time here to King's College. Brian Kaiser with you. And on the post-game show, it is a 21-17 victory for Kings over Lebanon Valley College here today. Let's take a look at our post-game statistics for LVC. 236 yards on the ground, 140 through the air, 52 rushes, 19 passes, 376 total yards for LVC, 35 minutes and 40 seconds of possession for Kings. 157 on the ground, 250 through the air, 34 rushes, 38 passes, very balanced there, 407 yards. And again, they were out-timed in possession by over 11 minutes in this game, a lot of that being in the second half, and still they were able to win this football game. They were 7 of 14 on third downs, 0 for 1 on fourth downs, 2 for 3 in the red zone. LVC 5 of 15 on third down, 3 for 5 on fourth down, 2 for 4 in the red zone. Individually, for LVC, Brendan Irving, 25 carries, 115 yards rushing. Tim Peroni had 8 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown. Steve Salerno, 8 carries for 32 yards. Ryan Fink also had 8 carries. So LVC spreading the rushing stats out around here today as he had 23 yards, did Fink rushing. Evan Lysak, 2 carries for 15. Derek Robinson, 1 for 3. Peroni was 10 for 19, 140 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, one of them being that controversial play near the end of the game. For LVC, Travis Sealy, the only guy who had more than one catch today. He had 3 catches for 43 yards, 7 other guys with a single catch. Baxter, 1 for 31. Gamble, 1 for 24. Clark, a catch for 21. Zimnick, a catch for 10. Irving, a catch for 9. Berberick, a catch for 2. Manning, a catch for no gain. Leading tackler in the game, Kyle Murray with 8 tackles for LVC. Spencer Moser also with 8 tackles. He also had an interception for the Flying Dutchman. For King's College, they were led today on the ground by Avante Thompson, 13 carries, 83 yards. Zach Whitehead, the quarterback, 11 carries for 44 yards and 2 touchdowns. Zach Funk, 7 carries for 43 yards. Whitehead was 22 of 38, 250 yards, a touchdown and an interception. His main receiver, Marquise Miller, had 7 catches for 58 yards in the game. Mike Palmer, 4 catches for 36 yards. Corey Flynn, 3 for 47. Tyler Maroney had 3 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. Campbell, the tight end, 2 catches for 31 yards. Funk, 2 catches for 10. And White had a catch for 23 yards. Bobby Russell, the guy who has always been a thorn in the side of LVC year after year in this rivalry, in his last game against LVC in his senior year. 15 tackles today, including 1.5 for loss. Bruce Damon was the fourth leading tackler today, but still with 9 tackles, that continues to add to his numbers that have been impressive all season long. Let's take a look around the MAC quickly. I'll start with the games that are over, or as far as the scoreboard is concerned, over. Ms. Recordia loses to Lycoming after leading most of that game. Lycoming comes back to win 28-24. FDU Forum was hanging close with Stevenson for a while, and then Stevenson decided that they would blow them out. They're up late in the fourth, 54-15. The other two games of note, Widener had a 22-0 lead against Wilkes, and now they find themselves clinging at this point with 2.5 minutes left to go. Now, Wilkes just turned the ball over on downs. Widener with the football, 2.5 minutes left. Widener has a 25-23 lead on Wilkes. We'll see that Widener team in 2 weeks on homecoming back at Arnold Field. But the other game and probably the marquee matchup this week in the MAC, Delaware Valley and Albright. That game is winding down as we speak. Albright, the last time I had checked, and Albright has scored a touchdown with 6 seconds left to go. Vignola hits Jackson for 14 yards, and the extra point good. It is 20-17, 20-17. Albright, barring a miracle for Delaware Valley, will knock off the Aggies from the unbeaten. And that will be the opponent for LVC next week. Delaware Valley smarting off of what is probably going to be their first loss of the season. And their national ranking may be down to Toity as well, as Albright will win that football game, barring a miracle, a 75-yard, 12-play drive to win it for the Lions. But we'll see Delaware Valley next week. That is next Saturday as LVC comes home to Arnold Field. We encourage all of you to come out and support the team, as this team fighting hard right now. Basically had one taken away from here on the road this afternoon. So that'll be a 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff on all of our stations, 91.1 FM and 1510 AM. For everyone involved with today's broadcast, Gary Gruber, also John Hirsch, Lydia Hirsch, our studio producers back at WMSS, and for my colleague John Wilsbach, this is Brian Kaiser saying good afternoon from King's College, where King's College beats LVC 21-17. LVC drops to 1-3 on the season, 1-2 in the MAC. You heard it here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
You've been listening to Lebanon Valley College Football on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network, 91.1 FM, 1510 AM, and the TuneIn app. Your home for the best in LVC sports is the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.